Don and Mike Show.
I mean, Billy Barty, and Billy Barty is dead.
Hey, I'm dead.
You didn't know that, Buzz?
No, I thought he was still alive.
Buzz.
I didn't
Buzz.
Get the memo.
Come on, get up to speed, Buzz. Oh, no Don, wonder Don, you weren't at the funeral. Mike and I were there eulogizing you.
Charlie Boyle and Rob Spiewak for pallbearers.
Oh, hello.
My God. Just the two of them.
Hello.
Hey, The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
The son of a beat.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live 4 hours every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's what we don't know.
But turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have many pictures of this man in my home. I've seen them. A crown of thorns. Nails on his hands, nails on his feet.
You have all the stages of the cross with Phil.
I do, ladies and gentlemen. You may know him as Jesus H. Christ. I know him as Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak.
What do you say, fans?
I say this. Phil would like to invite all of us out tonight to help celebrate Elvis's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Wow. It's Elvis' birthday.
Yeah. Birthday.
Phil called me today. He said the first round of cough syrup is on him.
Yay.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Barty and all the ships at sea. Here they are to avoid constipation. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Freedom from constipation. Are we going to read the Elvis stuff? Do you have all that today? You got it? All right.
Very good.
I mean, we've got a jam-packed show, but after all, it is Elvis's birthday. Always a special day on the show. Hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide, Westwood One, a share of Westwood One stock, now exactly the same as a U.S. postal stamp.
Wow.
33 cents.
Absolutely.
Phone number, same as it ever was, though.
Same as it ever was.
877-365-3636. That's your toll-free hotline to the hits. And what can we say, especially on Elvis's B-Day?
Welcome to my world.
Oh, yes, everybody. Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
A world of backbiting,
of misinformation.
Miracles, I guess.
Bastards who lie to your face.
Everybody hate me.
F them all. That's what we say.
Step into my heart.
And, of course, we're talking about the people who run this station.
Leave your cares behind.
The people who used to run this station now running a station in New York.
Right.
Running the station into the ground. This is built with them in mind.
Built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
And now the guys in the afternoon think we're full of crap about it.
Yeah, so listen, I'm not going to waste time today like we did Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We quit WNEW.
Yeah, okay.
Don't run the show on WNEW anymore. We quit. You think you got such a great station up there? Show me something. You think you got it going on, Ken and Jeremy? Go ahead. You son of a bitch. You bastard. You lied to us.
Right.
You lied to us. You told us that we'd be on live within a year. Well, it's 8 months, and they ain't making that move.
No, they're not going to make that move.
So
we're not, and we're not posturing here.
No.
We are very sincere about this. We were sincere about this on Friday.
Yeah.
Had a conversation today with Jeremy. You know, as a matter of fact, let's just call him now because it's crap.
Crap.
What's going on right now up there at NEW in New York is crap.
WNEW.
Yes, Jeremy Coleman, please.
Sure, one moment, please.
That is a sinking ship up there. We're jumping off.
Thank you for calling 1010 Winds and WNEW-FM. If you know the extension of the person you are calling, please dial it now.
Dial zero, I guess.
If you know the extension number and would like to dial by name, press 1. If you have a...
Yeah, this is much like the station's run.
Please use your touch-tone telephone to start spelling the last name of the person you are calling. For the letter Q, press 7. For the letter D, press 9.
Huh?
C-O-L.
Yeah, but 2-C-O-L. There, I did it.
Please select the name of the person you are calling from the following list of names. To select...
Jim Bolilla.
No.
Select...
Scott Colombo.
Press 2.
No, thanks.
If none of these names is correct,
Press Christ's
the star
sake.
Key to try entering the name again.
No, listen, forget it. I don't even want to talk to him. Just don't run the show tonight, Jeremy.
Pull the plug.
I know you're listening to us now in your office. Pull the plug. You made your bed. Lie in it. Goodbye. And don't ever call us again, and don't ever say again, hey, listen, we got this great plan, but you guys, you got to just come 50% right now. We'll make the other 50% up to you later.
Now, you lied to us.
You know, F it. And Opie and Anthony are on the air today cutting us an a-hole, because let's face it, they're threatened by us, okay? They're threatened by us and the fact that our show is there, and they think that Ken and Jeremy are going to move our show into their time slot.
And they think we're not sincere about wanting to be off that station, and we are.
Forget it. Who needs it? Goodbye. Take it. Enjoy it. Love it. Let me know how you do on that station, Jeremy. You thumb duck. You little prick.
Hey, we're perfectly content.
Yes.
We're perfectly content.
We're very serious about it. You know, we're all wound up again.
Of course.
We're just all wound up again like we shouldn't be wound up about this.
It's too much of a hassle.
Let's just let it go. Every day it's a goddamn soap opera. On that radio station,
you know, it never worked. It's never worked anywhere without a full commitment. And that means guys we've worked for, guys that have, you know, been our bosses here in Washington. If you don't make the 100% commitment to this show, it ain't going to work. And I mean, you know, cutting us off early. You broadcast it on an hour delay. Anywhere that happens,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. If you take the show in its entirety, you do it live, it works. And a lot of times you do that, you throw a switch, and that's it. I mean, game, set, and match. It is over after that. It doesn't work at NEW either. It can't.
No.
It can't possibly work.
So, Jeremy, if you're wondering what you should run tonight from 7 to 11, why don't you just run a tape of Leslie Gold's show?
Very good.
Do you know what this guy did? Seriously, I think I was having a conversation with Charlie Broyhill today, and I said to him, if it was any other radio station that we were involved with, we would jump off the deck like we are right now. They fired the midday girl, Leslie Gold, who none of you know, and rightly so. They fired her, then they let her come back on the air on Friday to do a farewell show in which she pretty much said, F management.
Anybody that's ever run a radio station, anybody that's ever been a program director, there is one rule that is above all other rules. If you're running a radio station, you do not let somebody have a last show.
But anyway, having said that, they did it. More power to them. So they fire her. They can her ass. They send her back to the project. She's back on food stamps. This morning at 10 o'clock, you know what they ran?
What?
A Leslie Gold best of show.
Oh. All right. I mean, talk about bad planning.
Wow.
Talk about not having your ducks in a row.
Right. So don't run this show tonight on WNEW. We quit. We set it on Friday.
I mean, that's like the Redskins firing Norv in the middle of the season, and then they bring, like, a cardboard cutout of Norv to put on the sideline.
Well, who could tell the difference, Mike, if they did that?
That is true. That is true. And I got to tell you something about old Marty.
Marty Schottenheimer, Marty with the party.
I like Marty. I know we railed against Marty. I like Marty because he's not like anything we've had in 10 years. Just wait.
I know, but do you know what I mean? At least he's
just wait.
I like Marty Schottenheimer.
Just wait and see how he works with Schneider.
I don't care if he has a meltdown, but at least he's going to have a meltdown. This is a guy that can make a fist.
Listen, hold on. I don't want to talk about football yet.
All right, I'm sorry. I like Marty Schottenheimer.
I just want to finish the WNEW thing.
I know.
We are finished with WNEW radio.
Wow.
That's it.
Right. Alan Limewine's probably the happiest man in the building right now.
Right. You know,
Alan, we're yours, buddy.
We'll stay where we are wanted, where at least they run the show. And not only on this station, but on all the other stations across America.
Right.
That run the show live and get big ratings and big revenues.
Send us a gift, Alan.
You know, and like I and like I said to Mike, I take responsibility for this. You know, because when we get together to make decisions like this, here's how it goes. I'm always the impulsive one and say, go with your first thought.
Yeah.
And Mike always says, wait, let's pull back and look at all the options.
Right,
well,
right.
I'm sorry. The carrot dangled in front of us to be on in New York and in the largest market in the world. I just said, F it. Let's go ahead with it. Let's take a chance. Well, I take the responsibility for that.
I
took a deal that was a half-assed deal.
Yeah, but you know something? I was all for it when it started, too. I thought that this was a great opportunity. It was an opportunity that I didn't like the idea that it was tape delay, but I liked the idea that we were going to be up in New York. And, you know, it became apparent as time went on that we were getting a following up there. And then, you know, it just became, when they made that move to fire Leslie Gold, it was indelibly clear that we don't have a chance there. They are not. We are not in their plans. We are filling a time slot. That's all we are doing. And this show can win for a radio station, especially an FM station. In any city in America, this show can win.
And listen, they lied to us. They told us that we'd be live. They didn't promise us the afternoon show. They didn't promise us the midday show. They didn't promise us the morning show. They promised us that we'd be live. And they've lied.
Hey, and let me tell you something. Opie and Anthony, seriously, we have not lied to you guys through this entire process. Let me tell you one of the things they did say to us. One of the things we always knew is that NEW had one show going for it when we came in there, and that was the Opie and Anthony show. That is the truth. And when we were talking about, you know, not wanting to be up there anymore, that is the truth also. Those are two facts.
Right.
Deal with those facts. We are not BSing. We were not waiting in the wings to take over the afternoon show.
No. We're waiting in the wings to take over the morning show. That's what we were waiting in the wings for. That's what they talked about it.
Right.
For over 2 years with us.
The game plan, seriously, when we went up there a year ago and they started doing this tape delay thing, was two things were going to happen. They were either going to move Opie and Anthony into that morning slot.
And then put us on in afternoon.
Put us on in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Or they were going to move us into the mornings. That's the way it was going to be.
That was the plan. You know,
I mean, c'est la vie.
That was the grand plan. But screw them, find them, F them, forget them. That's it, the three F's. Four F's. Find them, F them, feel them, forget them.
Right.
That's it.
In the words of Marty Schottenheimer, we quit.
You stop with the Marty Schottenheimer stuff.
I watched a lot of Marty Schottenheimer over the weekend.
So anyway, we're off that station. And God damn it, don't run this tonight. Don't run this show tonight on WNEW. This is not posturing. This is not structuring. And for those of you at WNEW listening to this on tape delay who don't think that we got the balls to do it, we've quit plenty of other gigs before.
This gig is not doing anything for us right now.
Means nothing to us. All it's done is in essence, effed up our show.
Right.
Because we've had to always think about being on time delay and being on in New York and not mentioning stuff like 3:22 p.m. in the East Coast and 12:22 p.m. if you're listening to us on the West Coast.
Amen. Yeah.
'Cause it ain't nighttime.
No, screw nighttime.
On the East Coast, it's the afternoon, and on the West Coast, it's the middle of the day. And in the Midwest, I don't know.
And when we were out in Indiana, we really didn't know.
Right. No, yeah, because Indiana had, okay, they never changed the time.
Right. It's totally effed up.
But that was another one of the stations that we quit. The station in Indianapolis, when we just said, you're going to F the show, because remember what they were doing there?
You know, we walked out of there because they were screwing with the show as well. They were screwing with the time of it.
They were time-shifting the show. So
they did stuff. I forgot what they did. It was totally
bad. I remember what they did. They would run the show every day. They would take an hour from the previous day and run it from 2 to 3.
At the beginning.
Then they would pick the show up in progress.
Oh, God.
And run hours 2, 3, and 4. So, like, It made no sense. So for those of you naysayers listening to us right now on the satellite at WNEW, and I know that you're all crouched around the desk listening to this.
Rob, did you just blow your nose?
I'm sorry.
Rob, I swear to God, it sounded like somebody was starting a weed whacker in
He's
the back.
He's crying,
of the
Mike.
I am crying.
Rob's crying because of New York?
I'm He's crying.
He enjoyed our trips up there.
This is not the first time that we've quit some cherry gig.
Yeah, I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We want to win. That's the bottom line.
And furthermore,
I hate the fact that we were being accused of being insincere about this, though. That we're posturing or something like
we're
that.
We're not. We quit. Take the show off. Take the goddamn show off, WNEW. And furthermore, my next call will be, this is going to be a call that pains me to make, but I will make it.
You know that part you were saying before about your impulsive decisions and things like that?
Yeah.
Your impulsive decisions. This is one that I would tell you to. I know you're going to talk about it, but I'd wait on that one. There are a lot of phone calls you can make in that city. There are a lot of phone calls. Hey, be realistic, too.
I am being realistic.
I guarantee you that wouldn't happen. I guarantee you that wouldn't happen. There's no way that happens.
Why?
Because of that station.
Because of which station? Because the station he's on?
Yes.
I mean the station with the program director we're talking
about?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Don't you get it? That suddenly we become allies.
You mean that guy and that guy
right.
are going to be our allies.
Right.
Jesus.
Hey, weirder things have happened.
I know weirder things have happened.
Weirder things have happened.
Business.
I just want to say, that guy
and that guy
right. are going to be our allies. Like it was when we came over here.
Could be. Well, we've lasted 9 years, haven't we?
Yes, we have, but we do not have an ally. We've never had an ally.
Okay. I'm just pissed. I'm pissed off. I'm goddamn pissed off.
I know you are.
Don't run this show, Jeremy. We quit. We're done. We'll take our 1.3. Yeah, we got our New York ratings today. We were up. Up to a 1.3. Oh, slow down. Smoking. Slow down.
New York, you've responded. You like the show 4 hours old.
Right. F it.
Hey, we're not moving backwards, though. I mean, that's important to point out.
Yeah.
We see even with that, with being hamstrung.
We doubled the ratings that they had when we took over that time slot.
Yeah. Right.
But we want to quit. And you can't make someone work where they don't want to work.
Exactly.
Because WNEW is a failing radio station.
And there's no contract. I was thinking about Jeremy saying that to you, about there being a contract, the network contract.
Yeah.
Right. Like he signed it. Right.
Yeah. And besides, even if he did, we know that the network contracts are worthless.
Yeah, but he never did.
No, I bet he did.
He never did.
You're right.
I'm sorry.
Just F him.
Yeah, really.
I mean F him. Go ahead, Jeremy. Made the biggest mistake of your life leaving this cushy gig at JFK.
Amen.
Goodbye. I read about you getting fired in the trade magazines. Goodbye, worthless little prick. I hate that guy. I hate Ken. I really do. He let us down on this, too.
Yeah, they both did. They both got hit. They went up there. They got their gigs. We're left behind. They don't want to deal with it.
Good. Fine.
They want to win. They don't want to win, I guess.
Right. Well, they're afraid to win.
Yeah, they're afraid to win because if they win,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to take the steps that WNEW needs to make the station a winner. But enough about that. Okay?
Yep.
So that's it. And listen, we only just went on with this because, 2 seconds before the show goes on, some guy from New York calls us up and says, hey, Opie and Anthony are cutting you guys an a-hole today.
It sounded to me when we listened to it, Opie and Anthony are saying that they don't think we're sincere about wanting to be off that radio station.
You don't think we're sincere?
I think Opie and Anthony thinks we're just sitting there in the tree waiting for them to get fired, and that's just not
true.
No way.
And as a matter of fact, when they do get fired, we won't take that gig.
No.
So F them. WNEW is off our resume.
That's it. Screw it.
Okay. Now, on with the show.
On with the show. Every day is a different event. I still love it, even when we're bitching and complaining. I still like doing this.
I've never been around a more effed up company than this one.
Yeah, but it's always something, isn't it? Isn't it always something with these idiots?
Yes.
We just plug along and do our jobs, get good ratings. Have an occasional brush fire, but other than that, we do real well. But we get kind of pooped on.
You know,
we really get pooped on, and I'm not quite sure why.
Here's why. Because we're the only guys in this goddamn company, when they ask us to do something,
right,
we do it.
We do.
you know, when they come to us and say, listen, don't talk about, I mean, I know we made a big deal about, you know, Howard Stern, that we're not allowed to say his name, but generally we've had a truce with that bastard for the last 9 years.
Absolutely.
We've lived up to the truce, and so has he. You know, when they say to us, don't talk about this internal thing in the company, because that's bad, we don't do it.
Right.
They want us to go out and make these goddamn BS appearances. We do it. But you know what? I get the feeling we're the only guys in the company to do it.
Yeah.
All the other guys in the company, and I guess we're the dopes.
Well, we always did it, because we think if we do it, down the road somewhere, they would say, hey, you've been good company guys. Mm-hmm. Here you go. You've been successful. Here you go. Well, there's never any here you go. It's just, you know, that's
no.
The way it is. And everything seems to have really come ground to a halt when that skinny little guy got more power.
Jeremy?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think Jeremy likes us. I don't think he's ever liked us. And I just think he, the last thing in the world he wants to deal with us is up in New York Live. I think that's it. I think, you know, I'm trying to think, are they afraid of winning?
Yeah.
I think as long as it's not a morning issue, they're not afraid. He doesn't want to deal with that.
So listen, we quit. That's it. And this company can just kiss my ass. We'll just ride out the last couple of years of our contract and continue to do what we've done. Do a great show every day, get high ratings, make tons of dough for this radio station.
Right.
And all the stations that we're on. But beyond that,
I do believe that here in Washington, we are appreciated. I get that vibe. I get that vibe that right here, we're appreciated. And there are lots of stations in our network. Are lots of our affiliates that appreciate us also.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, not by a long shot, but there are enough of them that it satisfies me.
There's more that don't than do.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I mean, there are ones that we're extremely successful on that don't. You know, that would just as soon have us not successful and get rid of us.
KHDK comes to mind.
KHDK hates us. Management at KHDK can't stand us. I mean, but they keep us on because we're successful.
Yeah, they can't get rid of us.
And but that's the situation.
That's great.
Jeremy doesn't want a New York. He knows if he put us on live, we would be successful, and there'd be nothing he could do about it.
Right.
Right now, he's got the power, you know? He likes it that way.
Good. Well, screw him. Screw him sideways. That's it. Seriously, don't run the show tonight, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Just pull the friggin' plug. So we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to think about it anymore. We don't have to talk about New York anymore.
Well, there's a way we could guarantee they weren't going to run the show tonight, Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
They edit it out when we talk about Howard Stern. So if we talk about that, you know, then they can't, you know, they can't run the show.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
There you go.
Howard Stern.
See?
Howard Stern.
They edit Howard Stern out anytime we would say it.
Right.
So when we say Howard Stern, they edit that out. So in other words, the more we say Howard Stern, the more they're not going to play it on WNEW.
WNEW is a station that's afraid of Howard Stern.
That should be, you know, something. They should send someone into a studio, and they should have them record that. WNEW, the station that's afraid of Howard Stern.
Right.
That would be a perfect slug line, because that's the way they do business up there.
And frankly, this whole thing with us saying his name, it was never an issue until NEW came up.
Absolutely a non-issue. As a matter of fact, he, you know, he overwhelmingly successful, did his thing. We very successful, went and did ours. That was it.
You can believe it or not, but for the last 9 years, we've had a truce with that guy that was negotiated with the CEO of this company.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be, you lay off, he lays off.
Yeah, exactly.
So we lay off, he lays off.
Mm-hmm. We don't care.
No problem. Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Pretty safe to say a good chunk of this Howard Stern discussion will be edited on WNEW.
I hope so. Howard, you know, should change the call letters of WNEW to W Howard Stern, because it's the station that Howard Stern built.
You know, maybe what they should do is they should run Howard Stern promos on that radio station all day. So they can have, like, another station that's so afraid of Howard Stern that they promote Howard Stern, even though Howard Stern's on another radio station.
They're petrified. The entire radio station is afraid to take a step forward because of Howard Stern. I mean, I said this to Ken when he took the gig. It's suicide. You're taking a job up there where you can't compete against Howard Stern in the morning.
Yeah, and you know, it's one thing in the morning. It's quite another to have the whole radio station be programmed that way.
But the whole radio station is petrified of the guy. Absolutely petrified of him. More power to him. We got to find a way to get some of that power.
Yeah, amen.
You know, because ain't nobody in this company afraid of us.
Right. No, no, not at all.
Nobody's afraid of us, man.
Care less.
Right. Well, F them.
That's it.
Howard Stern.
So you won't be hearing this on WNEW.
Good. Well, maybe, you know what? You should have thought of that right up front. Right up front.
Do I get a little extra credit for that one?
Yeah, you do. You should have thought of that right as soon as we started.
I know. I just, you know. The Howard Stern idea came into my head.
Damn.
You know, right as we were talking.
That's a good one, too.
It is a good one, too.
That'll guarantee that they don't have the balls to run this tonight on WNEW.
Absolutely.
Hey, what a mess.
Always an adventure.
Just get us out of that mess. That's all we want.
Yeah, I mean, and we're very content down here. I mean, we are. We're very, very happy. We love our listeners here in Washington, D.C.
And all the other stations.
And all the other mm-hmm. stations.
That we're on. All the stations that care enough about the show to run the show live.
All the people that call us live every day. I mean, the people that listen every day, we love you. It's great. It's fantastic. And it will continue to be fantastic. It really will. Nothing will change in that regard. We're very, very happy. And you know what? I apologize for this little New York thing.
It's the only way that we can make sure that they cancel us.
Yeah.
It's the only way doing this on the air today. I mean, if we just came on and just did the regular show, they'd run it.
Yeah.
They'd keep running it forever.
Right, exactly.
Howard Stern. They would keep
That's
running.
Whenever Opie and Anthony get in trouble, they talk about Howard Stern.
Yes.
That's when Leslie Gold gets in trouble. She talks about Howard Stern.
Well, hell, that's why she got fired.
Talked about Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why anytime we talk about Howard Stern, they take the little razor blade and they cut that segment out of the tape.
Just cut it out.
And now, you know, you won't hear any of this.
Well, I hope you won't hear any of the show tonight on WNEW. Because
right.
I'm going to tell you something, WNEW is a failure as a radio station. And I don't take any credit for them being a failure, because they never let us do the show
right.
that we wanted to do.
And, you know, the time comes when they said, hey, you know, give it some time. We gave it some time. Not only did we give it some time, we gave it time and energy, and we went up there and we said, hey, you know, we're really into this. We were into it. Not into it anymore.
No, that's it. We quit. Howard Stern. We quit WNEW. You think we don't got the balls to quit? And furthermore, I'll tell you something else, Jeremy, because I know you're listening. And this I swear to God. You run this show tonight on WNEW. Tomorrow me and Mike are going to be sick. Uh-huh. We'll get some blue flu. You know, like when the cops are mad and all the cops suddenly come down with the flu?
Right.
Yeah.
Job action.
Ow, my stitches are acting up.
There you go.
All my stitches in my back. I might have to go in and have those tweaked tomorrow. And your throat's not feeling well, is it, Mike?
What's that, Don?
See? You know, we're unhealthy men.
You know, everybody on this show is vastly unhealthy. Rob lost a lot of weight. He's still extremely unhealthy.
And Buzz,
we're falling apart.
How's your stomach?
It's coming along, but, you know, I have ups and downs, and you never
Buzz,
know.
Make a fist. How's your stomach? We'll ask the question again.
I feel trouble coming on.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
You feel trouble coming on about 3 o'clock tomorrow?
You never know when it could hit.
Or actually,
but,
you know what?
You know, whenever we're trying to do anything dishonest with you, you always got to give it one more try.
No, you know when
pull that lever once again.
You know when the real feeling bad will happen? Will be tonight at 7.
Right. Yeah, tonight at 7. I think that if we are on WNEW at 7 tonight, I'm going to start projectile vomiting, which in my house is a distinctly... I'll tell you, I could justify that. I could justify that because I've got a 5-year-old that was vomiting last night and vomiting all day today. That's the truth.
And listen, if we're on WNEW tonight at 7, I guarantee we're going to get sick at 7 o'clock tonight.
Right.
That's when we're going to get sick.
Absolutely.
Great.
Howard Stern.
WNEW, the station that Howard Stern made famous.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Squisita.
So we'll find out what happens tonight at 7, and we'll be able to listen. See, because we got a button here.
Island, we're rocking.
I know you are. And when I was living out there, before I was asked to remove myself from the island of Long, Opie.
See, that's WNEW.
Mm-hmm.
We got a feed. So we'll be able to hear tonight at 7 o'clock.
We'll know.
If they run the show or not.
Beautiful.
And if they run the show tonight, I'm sorry, everybody who depends on this show every day on all the other great stations. We won't be here tomorrow. We'll be sick tomorrow. We'll be sick until they take the show off WNEW. Hey, Mike, let me just stop and play a quick tape here.
WJFK is Howard Stern.
And if this girl would be happier with her breasts...
I say it's wrong.
She feels that you need breasts to be successful.
Elective surgery shouldn't occur. When they put something into the body, they'll eat. And I know what you're saying. Psychologically, a young girl can be really damaged. She doesn't have boobs and everyone's making...
There you go. What do you think of that, huh?
Yeah. That won't be on the air.
How you like that, Jeremy?
The way.
No.
Just take us off.
You know.
Put us out of our misery.
And better yet, Jeremy, call us and let us know you're going to do that.
I'll tell you what.
So we know.
At oral sex.
Listen to the Howard Stern Show mornings on WJFK.
Yeah. Call us now and let us know. Otherwise.
Stomach buzz?
Yeah, it's hurting a little.
Rob, how are you doing?
My God, I've got the worst cold I've ever had, and it's not getting any better.
There you
Jesus
go.
Jesus Christ. What a mess this is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Howard Stern.
We are here, Howard Stern.
Hi, what can we do for
Hello.
You? Hi. Oops, I'm sorry, the button's in the wrong position. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm still here.
Hi.
Take this job and shove it.
Now, this element of the job, we have a job that we truly enjoy.
Right. But in New York, I don't even want my phone call played back to New York later because you guys are much more talented than Howard Stern.
Well, you've just assured your phone call won't be broadcast.
Okay, and another thing, too, segue into Elvis.
Yes.
You played a tape where Elvis is pissed off. He's on stage and he's cussing about someone who works at the hotel casino that said he was strung out on drugs.
Oh, well, we're going to play that today.
And I'll rip the SOB's tongue out.
Yeah, by the roots.
Yes,
we're going to play that on
All right, that is, I'm going to be recording that.
Our today's Stern. Episode. Thank you.
But not to be played back in New York.
Why?
Because Don and Mike are much more talented than Howard Stern.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Really.
Bye.
Hey, yeah, Broyhill.
I love it when a listener gets it.
Hey, Broyhill, you just came in here with that big ass-eating grin on your face. Why don't you get a hold of the gerb? And just let us know that he is in fact going to yank the plug tonight. That this ain't going to be on WNEW tonight.
Yeah, because this is now like a boil.
Yeah.
It needs to be lanced.
Right. Because if not, we might just get sick now.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good right now.
I tell you, something's inflamed. And I'm not even going to tell you where it's inflamed.
Oh,
I'm woozy.
But it's, are you woozy?
Woozy.
Is yours inflamed below your belt line?
I tell you right now, there's inflammation from my buckle down to my kneecaps.
I must have got it from you.
There you go.
Because I got the same thing.
I scratched it, and the doctor said not to scratch it.
Oh, and we were holding hands before the show today.
Yeah.
When we were having our pre-show prayer.
The prayer that we have, the circle of prayer when we take one knee.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't you guys play Howard Stern in the background, and they won't play you back? And I'm glad you guys are doing this rather than the Elvis stuff.
Well, now, hey, listen, F you. We love Elvis, and we're going to do the Elvis show today.
Hey, F Elvis, all right?
No. Not Elvis. F you. Not F
you
Elvis.
And Elvis.
Oh, blasphemer! Oh.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Blasphemer, and now mother's brought into it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey,
I got a couple of things to say first, but first, Mike?
Yes?
Are you going to miss visiting that kiosk?
Yes, I am.
I got a couple of things. You know, Howard Stern visits that one, too.
Does he really?
Yeah. I just want to say, fight the power, guys.
It's good. We know for sure your call will not be broadcast, sir. That's good.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I just would like to say that I used to be a fan of Howard Stern until I found you guys. You're great, great, great. And please don't be sick tomorrow because I won't be able to cook dinner. I won't be able to drive home.
Well, listen, this our health tomorrow depends on Dr. Coleman.
Dr. Coleman can lance this boil and everything can be fine.
That's it. Just take the show off. And, you know, furthermore, I want to tell you something else. If Dr. Coleman had an ounce of control over anything that went out over the air on NEW, we might have been able to come to some kind of compromise with him.
Exactly.
But I'll be damned. I'll be damned if we're going to, you know, turn on the satellite today and hear Opie and Anthony cutting us an a-hole for all of New York City, saying that they don't think that we mean what we say. Wouldn't have said it if we didn't mean it.
No, what's the point?
Please. All we need is a simple spoonful of Dr. Coleman's soothing tonic.
A Dr. Coleman tonic will take care of this problem.
Right.
Because, you know, I think you've said it a couple of times. It's just on the mind, and it's unnecessary.
We just want to make sure that we're done on that station. You know, go ahead and ruin your career, Jeremy. Just, we don't want our names attached to it anymore.
And, you know, this is, you know, not to say for anybody that's listening now live and has people that listen up in New York City that we would not want to be on in New York City. We still very much want to be on in New York City.
I'm going to make that phone call.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to make that call.
All right.
To those two guys. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike. Don, how you feeling?
You know what? I'll let you know.
Okay.
Mike, how you feeling, Mike?
It could go either way. The inflammation could go either way. It could clear up, or I could just develop a severe staph infection.
Scratch a little harder, and I think you might get a little bit better infection. Hey, why can't you loop subliminal messages to Howard Stern in the background of the show?
All right, listen. Hold on a second.
Everybody's trying to figure it out now.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Helper.
We've worked past that. We noodled through that one already.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want the show to be a goddamn ad for Howard Stern, okay? I mean, we do have our dignity.
Yeah, we have our dignity. We're doing this simply as an exercise.
As a way to make sure that this segment won't be heard on NEW tonight. Right. But I don't want to run any of the show tonight. Hello?
Hello?
Rerun Leslie Gold.
You're here.
That's a great idea. Hello?
Not a mic.
Yes, we are.
Man, I'm glad you guys are on the radio. And ask Howard Stern.
All right. Thank you. All right, well, everybody's offering up their own little bit of support for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And meanwhile, we just want to have it out with good old Doc Coleman.
Yeah, we just want to be done with that.
Where is D.C.?
We're trying to find out now what the deal is.
Where does he hang his shingle these days?
Where's Doc Coleman? Medicine man.
Did you talk to Dr. Coleman?
Yes, I did.
And?
He said the show will never be on again in New York.
Hey!
Oh, no. The show will never be on again at WNEW.
At WNEW, right.
Yes, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
But you also believed him on everything else.
But what?
You also believed him on all the other things you said about New York, so.
Well, if he runs the show tonight on NEW.
We won't be coming in.
No, I understand. I told him that.
That we'll be sick.
Right.
Tomorrow.
He said it won't be on tonight. I said, in any form, best of or live.
Right.
He said, well, I had planned on running the best of. So I said, no show at all in any format. So it's not going to be on.
Okay, good. All right, well, then we can end this.
Good, we're done.
Then it's done.
Very
good. Thank you. And furthermore, being as we got it on the satellite, we can just monitor every day. And every single day at 7 o'clock, we'll do the check at WNEW to find out if they're running the show or not.
It was an experiment for us to see if they were sincere, and they have proven themselves to be insincere.
Yes. So thank you.
So that's it. Let them now patch it together all the more.
Go ahead. Try it without us. Good luck.
Thank you,
Dr. Coleman, for your soothing suppository.
Fantastic. Doc Coleman, medicine man.
I'm feeling much better now. How about you, Mike?
I feel fantastic since I've taken Doc Coleman's headache powders. I really do.
I haven't even had a chance to play you my great Show Me Something commercials.
These are great for anybody who's an NFL fan who watched some of the games over the weekend. They were running promos. We have our own version.
Oh, they've been running these for the last month. God damn, they're driving me crazy.
Mr. 40.com.
Oh, Mr. 40, you have shown me something hot.
They just out here chilling. Everybody was just chilling, you know.
Good God, Mr. 40, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Right.
Don and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep. That's my favorite part. Right at the very end, they will show you something.
Here's the Tom Gavin one.
This is my favorite.
What's up, guys? Tom Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something. Gavin, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Jesus Christ, the Lord is saved.
John and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep.
Oh,
wow.
And hold on, the one for Dennis?
Equally good.
Hello, can you hear me?
Dennis Murphy, you have shown me something. Dennis Murphy, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Hey, how you doing?
Don and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep.
Hey, on the Dennis Murphy promo, there was Tom Gavin.
Oh, Tom's on the end of all of them.
Is Tom on the end of all of them? Yep.
Yep.
Okay, right, the Homo Joe one.
Homo Joe. Okay.
Yeah, Don and Mike, Homo Joe here. Homosexual Joseph, you have shown me something.
HomoJoe.com.
Homo Joe, it's 2001. Time to show me more.
With Mr. Condom.
Don and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep.
Oh, this is great. And we will show you something.
Because I don't know about you, but I am friggin' sick of those commercials during every playoff
they
game.
You run them over and over and over again.
Quadre Ismail.
You got to show me something more.
Show me something more.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we'll run those for a while.
Very good. Well, I guess we've done some good today.
Yes.
We've taken care of some business.
Outstanding. Now we can get on with the show. And today's show, incidentally, jam-packed.
Yes.
Because we've got the guy from Seinfeld, the Jay Biederman guy coming in.
Yeah, that guy. What's his real name?
Wish I could tell you.
John something.
Hold on.
Jay Biederman.
Got a press release right here. John O'Hurley.
O'Hurley. John O'Hurley. Good Irish name. John O'Hurley is going to be hosting what show?
To Tell the Truth.
I love that show. That's a show that deserves to come back.
It's already on, yeah.
That's why we sweat the details. We have a press release right here.
Also, John O'Hurley.
Also today, the guy who bills himself as... Now, is it the world's best Elvis impersonator?
I think he thinks a lot of himself.
He thinks he's the world's best Elvis impersonator.
Does that mean he walks, talks, acts, breathes like Elvis?
Coming in to put on an Elvis show for us today.
And we've never had one in studio.
Ah. Plus, yesterday we're going to have the Elvis diatribe, the rip your tongue out by the roots.
Thank you very much.
And lots of other great Elvis stuff. We got weekend stuff to get to. We're finally free of that albatross known as WNEW.
Very good.
Goddamn, life is good.
Wonderful.
That's good. We did some good on today's show.
Absolutely, and good luck to them up there.
Yeah. We'll continue to track the progress of WNEW.
Yeah, we'll give you continuous updates.
And the management team of Ken Stevens and Jeremy Coleman. Two guys who you can really believe in.
Count on it.
Believe it! What would you say if I told you?
Darlene,
believe it!
Believe it!
All right, call 100 time now. Secret song. Oh, the impossible secret song number 3. It's worth $500.
Good.
You get a shot at the money right now if you call 100. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike, honor, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gag call. So I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh.
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we sure can. Time for call 100 right now, and here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Call 100.
Right. What's your name?
Jason.
Jason, where are you from?
Ledora, Iowa.
Ledora, Iowa. Where the F is Ledora, Iowa?
Well, Iowa City about 30 miles west.
Beautiful.
We used to have a Ledora that works here.
No, that was Lenora.
Oh, that's right, though.
Do you remember what was Lenora's greatest attribute?
Her feet?
Her crotch.
Oh, that's right, absolutely.
Don't you remember that day she came in here and took her clothes off?
Yes, yes, that's right.
And do you remember who was getting naked with her? Because it was when you were trying out strip trivia. It's a lovely picture if you think about
Who came in with her?
It was her and Earl Merton.
Earl Merton!
There you go.
And I think he got Earl down to his short sleeves.
Absolutely.
And, looked good.
Voices from the past.
My friend. Oh, Jesus, what's going on here? You won the Outer Limits prize pack.
Sweet.
Still the Outer Limits.
Isn't Tammy back from vacation?
Maybe she's taking a little longer vacation.
Oh, I saw her today. Is Tammy here? Yeah, she is. Tammy, new prizes, please. Not that you've not won a cherry prize, sir.
Oh, sweet. I'll take what I get.
The Outer Limits is back. Sit back and experience the unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable, the fact that the show is on at 1 o'clock in the morning on Fox. Sunday mornings at 1 a.m.
There you go.
And they're doing a promotion. The Outer Limits, new stories, new stars, new season. Okay, now you go for $500 with Secret Song number 3. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
We'll play you the clip from the song that has been digitally enhanced.
This is a tough one.
Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
We wish you good speed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Ah. Ain't no raindrops keep falling on my head.
For sure.
And ain't no can't get enough of your love. Although it was a top 10 Billboard hit.
And the odds.
odds are in my favor.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes! For $500, what's the song?
I have no idea.
No, come on, dummy. You got to guess.
All right. Like a Virgin, Madonna.
No. No, but thank you. Thank you for the guess.
Sorry. Yep, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for that. And don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you. Correct me if I'm wrong. People call because you say it's the secret song contest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they just call even though they don't have an idea of what it is.
Even if you don't have an idea, you know, just whatever the first song is that comes into your head.
Make a guess.
I don't know. And you know, actually, that wasn't a bad guess.
Okay.
Not to give you a hint, but that was, as far as guesses goes, not a bad one.
You know what I wanted to tell you?
What?
I went to see that movie on the weekend.
Castaway?
I went to see Castaway.
Or as Regis would say, Castaways?
Castaways.
And?
And we are, I will tell you, I thought at the beginning, because I was so overwhelmed with the beginning of that movie, that's the best. You know, I don't want to give anything away.
The crash
a lot of
scene,
people,
you mean?
Crash scene to me, the best I've ever seen on film. I don't think there's anything that's going to touch it. I think it's going to set the standard for a crash scene in a movie. I mean, there was nothing like it. I think that's as close as anyone could ever feel to being in a plane crash without being in a plane crash. And
however,
then we go to the island, and I even made it through the fire. I made it through fire, and I'm like, hey, that's great. And then it just was too much Hanks. Too much of him. He's a great actor, but that camera on him all the time, and when I really lost it, was when, and I'm not going to tell you what this scene is, because I want people to go and enjoy the movie, but Wilson! Wilson! Wilson!
I know.
How many times do we have to hear that? How many times do we...
Well,
I mean, at that point, okay, we get it. We get it. His little ball is floating away.
The great Bob Zemeckis and Tom Hanks, what they're doing for us little brains
right.
is they're illustrating the fact that Tom Hanks is cast away.
Right.
He's alone. He could spend an entire day on the beach screaming for his volleyball to come
back. Was when he's out in the water, you know, and it got away. And it's like, I mean, how many times?
Oh, because it got away before he got out of the water.
Yeah, it got away before,
When he got mad and kicked it.
Yeah. But the one that really, because that was the first time we had that. And then when we went through it a second time, and really, I mean, I'd go to the movie almost again to see that crash scene. I really would. That's how much I enjoy that. But I will tell you this.
But overall?
Overall, no, I can't. I can't give it my endorsement. I cannot, because simply, it's just, he's a fine actor, but he's not that fine an actor where you couldn't have shaved 45 minutes to an hour off that film.
Once again, you and
we always agree on Tom Hanks movies.
Stand alone.
We always agree on Tom Hanks movies, and I was going in, I was forcing myself to be objective, and I was waiting to come into you and say, man, I thought that's the best Tom Hanks movie I've ever seen. It wasn't a bad movie, it just was, too much.
I had a discussion with one of my neighbors this weekend who had just been to see Castaway, and they were, you know, it's like, the friggin' Lemmings did everything they hear on TV, they repeated back.
Right.
They said, oh, my God, it was awe-inspiring. It was like nothing I'd ever seen. And I started the same diatribe, the same one I did last week, virtually the same. And she's like, God, damn, this is boring. It's slow. So they said to me, have you liked any Tom Hanks movies? And I said, yes. And they said...
I bet I know which one you said.
They said
nothing in common?
They said, name three.
All right.
Nothing in common is one of them that I had.
All right.
Can you name the other two Tom Hanks movies?
Big.
You're two for two. Robbie?
I guess one. Bachelor Party.
You got it. That's my trifecta.
Those are the winner.
Those are the only three Tom Hanks movies that I could say I really liked. Now, the one where he buys the house with Shelley Long, where the house is falling apart.
The Money Pit.
Right.
I love that. The Money Pit was all right, but it's had Shelley Long in it, so I mean, you can't do that. Tom Hanks, you know, a lot of people probably don't even remember. I mean, that Tom Hanks was a comic actor. That's how he got his start. And when he's you know, running around trying to catch that fish, he went right back to that Tom Hanks goofiness, and the theater broke up. I mean, and I guess they were trying to do that, too, a little bit, but... You know, and he's good and Helen Hunt is good, but they're not so good that you have to leave that camera on them for an hour. They're good actors, but they're not so good that they can carry all of that silence with just them. It was unnecessary. Could have shaved
easy.
45 minutes off that.
The next
movie,
time you see Tom Hanks acting all intense trying to build a fire, just think of him in a dress and bosom buddies.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That takes the edge off there.
Absolutely. And I love that part. I love the making fire. I totally was absorbed with. I was totally into him making fire. Uh-huh. It's when he lingered on that island.
You lose me. You lose me.
Fire!
You know, and listen,
I will give you. There is a credibility aspect of that he would not necessarily be that overjoyed. Out loud. I don't know
if the guy was really on the island.
Right.
How come he waited so long to open all the goddamn packages? And furthermore,
well, do you know why? I can answer that. That's easy to answer. You know why? He was the big gung ho FedEx boy. FedEx was the whole reason he was gathering those packages was to preserve them, and that's why
hold on. He's on the island for 4 friggin' years.
I know.
Wouldn't you think maybe after a month or 2 months?
You and I, 2 hours.
5 minutes.
5 hours, and we wouldn't have the presence of mind to leave that last one either.
Yeah, right.
We'd tear into that last one. How do you know it might be food?
How do you know that last one didn't have a cell phone in it?
Right, exactly.
Or a two-way radio?
That's where Tom Hanks was such a good guy. Okay, we're really giving away the plot.
Well, too bad. The movie's been out a month. If you haven't seen it by now, you know, tough. Tease.
Also, having a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, much of the movie I thought I was listening to Woody from Toy Story. He had a lot of that, you know, Wilson! You know, a lot of his yell that he uses in Toy Story 2, you know, which is just like, Wilson!
I mean, he's okay.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, and I'm a
schmuck. He's good.
I'm a schmuck because I go to almost all of his movies.
Well, I do too because he does make good movies.
But he ain't no Jimmy Stewart.
He makes movies, but he gets so much acclaim for these films, and they, you know, and I think that they banked on him so much. And hey, the movie's an overwhelming success. Tom Hanks is a success. It's just I thought it was a little too long.
You know who deserves an Oscar? His dietitian.
Yeah, that was incredible. And you know, I found it more shocking to see him in clothes when he came back than on the island. I knew he'd lost a lot of weight, but when he put that T-shirt on, and he looked like his head was going to fall off.
But he did the same thing when he was in the AIDS movie, when he got
Philadelphia,
AIDS.
Right.
Yeah, he did the same thing where he lost a lot of weight, uh-huh. You know.
It was just, I mean, I hate to say it was exactly, your assessment was exactly dead on, but you reacted the same way.
You and I agree about Tom Hanks movies, though.
Yeah, we do agree. We always agree exactly, and it was just too much Hanks.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you something else about Helen Hunt. And I don't know when we're ever going to get around to re-rating women for the year 2001. Mm-hmm. She is falling faster than Westwood One stock.
You know, when we saw, my wife and I saw As Good As It Gets, and I said it was an incredible performance. She deserved the Oscar that she won for it. My wife said to me, you know, it's Helen Hunt doing what Helen Hunt does. And said that way back when. And I'm inclined to agree with her now that I see her in this movie, Castaway, that Helen Hunt kind of does that same Helen Hunt.
Oh, I don't mind what she does.
Every time with her acting.
I just mind the way she looks.
Do you think she's hit the wall a little
bit? She's looking a little long in the twofer.
And that guy from Sex and the City played her second husband, too.
Oh, that's right. The guy, his name? Chris Noth.
Very strange name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I did enjoy it. I tell you that. The beginning of that movie is just about as good
well,
as...
Well, you know what? We said the same thing about Saving Private Ryan. First half hour of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I will always...
Was a great movie.
I will never see Castaway on cable now. And see it at the beginning and ever not stop on it. I will watch that every single... It was phenomenal. I was completely blown away by the way they did it because they did it in such a way that I've never seen it done in a movie situation.
As a matter of fact, when Saving Ryan's Privates comes on now, I watch the first half hour because it's great, and then I'll flip back and forth.
I watch it right up until Ted Danson.
You are just reading my mind today.
And not because of Ted Danson, because that scene where the wall comes down and all the Germans are on the other side of the wall is an awesome scene.
That is the point of no return for me.
Yep.
When I realize that it's Big Frankenstein head, Ted Danson. Oh, and did you see him on the People's Choice Awards last night?
No, I watched a little bit of the people. I saw Leah. Did you see Leah on the People's Choice Awards?
I couldn't stay with it.
Leah screwed up bad.
Oh, no. Leah screwed up.
What did she do?
She was a presenter.
Yeah.
And she came out and then she and Kevin did a little bit, and then he walked off and she said, okay, and the nominees are Bed, and she went and she rattled them all off without, and they started the videotapes where they say Bed. And then they moved on.
Right.
And she, like, walked all over it. And then they came back and she presented the winner. But it was just like, I think the nominees, I forgot what they were. Bet, another movie, another TV show, and another one. And she, you know, she dove right in and they overlapped
her. You're supposed to pace it so that...
Yeah, or you're supposed to say, here are the nominees.
Oh, and then they got a guy on tape who goes...
Right.
Bet.
Right.
Caroline in the City.
Or she's on tape. I don't know, but she... She kind of like, she had a little fluff there, and I don't think she was nervous. I don't know what it was, but Kevin was there with Army Archer.
Hey!
Did you see the open?
No, I didn't, no.
Kevin's manic open on that?
No.
Not that funny. Did a thing where he wanted...
Definitely the butthole of award shows.
He wanted to climb up on stage, and
it really
he couldn't make it, so he had to call his friend Ray Romano to come help him get up on stage. One of the first presenters was Ted Danson, who...
Right.
That not only is the guy bald, but I know he is gray like Phil Donahue.
Yeah, white hair.
I had not seen him with the white hair. I'll tell you this though.
I think the People's Choice Awards are fixed too.
The two best things on the People's Choice Awards were underneath Jennifer Aniston's dress last.
Oh, I didn't get a look at her.
Oh my God!
Midway through it,
is she hot?
You know, here's why I know the people. I think you may have said this before. The reason the People's Choice Awards are fixed, you see Mel Gibson sitting in the audience.
You know
Julia Roberts.
Win.
You know
right.
That.
Right.
They're going to win.
Right. Right. They're like the Bobby Paul Awards.
The only thing was, you know, they had Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts they were both there, and I forgot who the other.
Hold on. But you know what? I had that discussion with Frida, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you knew Julia Roberts was going to win. That's the only way you get her there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sandra Bullock has a movie out that's tanking right now.
Okay.
So Sandra Bullock's people say to her,
right,
no one's going to go see Miss Congeniality, but listen, you're going to be on TV for 3 hours tonight.
And Meg Ryan nowhere to be found.
And Bullock presented.
So she did really present.
Kissing up trying to get some business.
Yeah, it was funny, though, because when you see Mel Gibson, as soon as I saw Mel Gibson, I'm like, what is Mel Gibson? Well, of course, he's nominated and he's going to win. However, Mel Gibson was the obvious choice in that category.
And, those fags from NSYNC in the front row.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, I wonder if they're going to win or not.
What is the deal with that award show? Is that that's the first one of the season.
Who are the people? You know, who are these people? Who are the people who vote for the People's Choice Award?
You could have. You could have gotten online and done it yourself last night. You could have voted online. And at one point, like right before 11 o'clock, they did a little scrawl across the bottom of the television and said the voting is closed. So you could vote for your favorite.
But, I mean, the actual awards, though.
The actual awards are done by Gallup.
The Gallup organization gets the three nominees, and they have the guy, the nerd boy, explain that.
Did you see how polished he was? Hi, I'm Joe Blow from Gallup.
The Gallup organization picks out, it's your choice. These are your people.
Yeah.
I couldn't stay with it.
You know, and Kevin, I root for Kevin, and I root for Leah, and that was just like the trailer park of award shows.
I had to go back to The Sopranos, except it was the one where Tony has the dream about the girl with the big boobs.
Oh, really?
Who's watching the next-door neighbor's house.
That's God, they've run that into the ground.
The only good thing about that one is it's the one where he gets shot in the ear.
Cusimano's house.
Yes, and then his mom comes over.
Right.
And Uncle Junior comes over, and Paulie Walnuts is in the background saying, well, he couldn't have done it because he's there.
Right, exactly.
And it's the one also where Tony's mom starts to fake the Alzheimer's.
Right.
When Meadow brings her over the train, she goes, who are you?
Who are you? I don't know who you are.
And then Junior goes over to the rest home and he goes, what was that crap? Your son doesn't get killed, and now conveniently you don't remember Meadow.
Yeah, exactly. That's when she goes into the defensive crouch.
Yeah.
The thing I hate about that episode is there's never any payoff with that
with the big bosom girl,
that lady, and that's all I thought about watching that episode.
Right.
Is that Tony was eventually going to have a tryst. Not that I want to see Tony in a...
No, but I did want to see that chick naked.
Oh, and you got that with the Italian lady when they went over to Italy.
Italy.
But he never banged her, did he?
He did in a dream.
Oh, but not...
Which to me counts.
Yeah, okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah, People's Choice Awards, they suck. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, when I was on hold, I heard you say... I was going to call you about Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, my God. She looked absolutely gorgeous last night.
Is Brad Pitt there with her?
No.
No, no, but she said something about it. I think she's looking better and better. I don't know. She's... Grace, I didn't think she was that gorgeous, but looking at her last night, she is. When she walked up in that black dress, I know she wasn't wearing a stitch of clothes underneath that, but the way that dress was hanging on the cheeks of her ass.
She had low cut, each breast,
right,
pronounced.
Yeah.
Enough.
It was beautiful.
Enough of a V cut so you could. It wasn't just cleavage. I mean,
right.
You could see how each of those beautiful breasts was hanging.
Oh, fantastic.
It was a sight to behold.
She's so hot. She might be number one on my list this year.
And I think her best stuff is yet to come. I think you're going to see her in a lot more feature films.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hello.
Although I'd like to say for the record, I think her husband is beautiful also.
He's a very pretty man.
Brad Pitt is almost as beautiful as Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, and they're going to have beautiful children when they decide to have babies.
Yeah, they will. Hello.
Yeah, what you were saying about the award shows, they're not fixed. But the stars know who's going to win, and that's how they get them to show up.
Of course, Wilds.
Well, that is fixed.
What's that? Well, the voting really counts, though.
No.
No. How can it be? If the stars know who's going to win, they bill this as the People's Choice Awards. You vote on the internet during the broadcast.
Right, during the broadcast stuff is phony. It's all known in advance.
But no. But listen, the stuff that was done during the broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as the awards that the Gallup poll people did.
Correct.
The real awards.
Those
that
are knocked down to three. What I'm saying is they come out and when they say, we are going to give you the results, you're voting right now as we speak. The Gallup organization has come up with the three nominees, but you were taking your votes right now.
And that doesn't count.
And that's where it's fixed.
Right, and if you would watch how these shows are made during the breaks, these stars just come right before they get called up on stage.
Yeah, and how convenient was it that... A lot of the shows that were nominated were CBS shows.
Yeah.
Oh, I
used to work for one of these award shows, and that's the only way we could have gotten the stars to show up is we told them who won.
Of course.
And they came.
Of course. You think you call Julia Roberts up some night and you say, hey, you want to come to the People's Choice Awards?
I think the only award shows that probably don't do that are the Academy Awards, the Emmys, and the Tonys.
But even those, the stars only show up for the segment they're concerned with, and they have, you've heard about the seat fillers.
Right.
Yes.
Who fill the audience in the meantime.
Exactly.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was wondering, did you watch the, I know you just said you flipped back and forth. Did you watch happen to see some of the credits of the People's Choice Awards?
No. Who watches the credits of the People's Choice Awards?
I was just watching them flip down, and it said one of the producers was John Piscopo.
John Piscopo or Joe Piscopo?
Yo, mama.
Oh. We're going to let that one go today.
So long since that's been done. But such an idiot.
Let that one go today.
Oh, my God.
We've had enough screaming today.
Piscopo, we have been nailed on.
A million times.
We're that moron.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Which moron? The moron who called her Joe Piscopo?
Both.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks. Hi, guys. And Mike, I want to say, first off, great job on Low Budget Jeopardy with Sean Connery.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
You had that nail. Every time I saw Sean Connery, I went to a traffic this weekend, and he was in a trailer, and I just sat there chuckling, and my wife's going, what are you laughing about? She goes, oh, Sean and Mike.
Thank you. That's nice of you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Anyway, did you say anything about traffic? Did you guys see it?
Yeah, did you get a chance to see it over the weekend?
It was awful coming in today.
You said you were going to see it over the weekend.
Nah, we ended up, because I had Dr. Crap, we ended up not going.
You know, there's a Catherine Zeta-Jones factor now in those movies that if I say to my wife, I want to go see Traffic, mm-hmm. and I want to go see Traffic because I just want to see the movie, but because it has Catherine Zeta-Jones in it, I get the look that indicates, you know, I said, hey, you know, Traffic, we ought to go see Traffic. That's got Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones. As soon as I say Catherine Zeta-Jones, I get the look that's like,
but isn't she,
that's why you want to go see it.
I know she's pregnant in real life, but doesn't she play a pregnant lady in Traffic also?
She is, and her boobs are real big, too.
Oh, my God.
Man.
And low-cut stuff, because it's all done in...
I don't care about that. I just want to see a good film.
Yeah, well, it is. I didn't think... Well, didn't Charlie give it three porcelain dolls?
Not me. I want to see big, milky breasts.
Yeah, yes.
God, why doesn't Brad Pitt knock Jennifer Aniston up? Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
Tia Leone with her boob job.
Well, it was a weird show.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, bye.
Now, you know, we were going to go to the movies, and then, you know, football was on.
Wilson! Wilson!
We were going to go, and then Frieda said, when do you want to go to the movies? And I said, well, gee, I don't know. Because the games meant so much to me, and the games on Saturday sucked. The game yesterday was good. The Baltimore-Tennessee game was good.
Right.
And the Giants game, although I was happy the Giants won,
right,
was boring.
It was boring. You know, yeah, there was never any doubt.
And listen, did anybody out there keep track of how many times Pat Summerall said, "I beg your pardon"?
You know, I'm sorry, but Ron Dayne and Tiki Barber, there are two guys that could not look,
you know what it is,
less alike.
27... 21.
But Tiki Barber,
I know, Ron
looks like
Dayne,
a ballet dancer.
Ron
next
Dayne
to Ron
is
Dayne.
A big, strong guy. Tiki Barber's a small, little, skinny guy.
Dayne carries off, beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon, Tiki Barber. How many times? And he even said, beg your pardon. What was the one at the end of the game? I was talking with Rob yesterday on the phone. Even Rob watches football now just to hear how many times Pat Summerall is going to say, "I beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon."
You got it?
Didn't he say, "I beg your pardon" about the sandwich? They kept going back to that big sandwich that the guy had in the stands. And I think I could use one of those beg your pardon.
You know, speaking of that, I'm trying to think. Matt? I'm
Midland?
Sorry. No, not Matt. I'm John Madden. John Madden. When they had that guy's shirt up, the fat guy, the lineman Parker for the Giants, I forget what his first name is.
The offensive guy that got hurt.
Guy that got hurt for the Giants.
Oh, and Madden said, "Hey, there's a body."
And then Pat Summerall, they go to a shot of him, and Pat Summerall, you just hear him start laughing because he knew Madden. You know, Madden is so acutely aware of what's going on over that magic box. And they show this guy, and Madden goes into this thing about another player seeing him in the shower and seeing that body and saying, "Now, this is a guy, how can he play football? He can play football because he knows how to play football, but that's not a body that you'd expect to be in athletics."
I think that's the difference between those two guys. I think that Summerall is such a feeb. He watches the field, and I think Madden watches
that television
the TV.
Yeah.
So he sees the same thing that we see.
But on that one scene, you know, they get a little of their old greatness when they both start laughing, and I miss that about both of them. Because I think Summerall has lost a lot of that over the years, that he does not enjoy Madden's company as much. Yeah, he doesn't laugh at Madden as much. And that was one of those moments where they went to the shot, and it was where they were putting some kind of, like, magnet or...
No. They were trying to put, like, a giant elastic thing around the guy.
Like a brace around him.
And it wouldn't fit. And Madden said, whatever it is, has got to be bigger.
I know. And they just start cracking up. That poor guy, that lineman for the Giants, and they're just showing his gut.
You know, I felt bad for Madden is at one point during the game, Summerall said something about, maybe it was when the guy was having the sandwich, when they were talking about food, and Summerall said, "Did you do anything this week besides eat?"
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
the curmudgeon-y.
And I wait for Madden to come back and go,
right,
"Do you have any pills and booze this weekend?"
Yeah. You know, this is real detailed TV watching, but when they have those little scenes of New York that they show on the Giants games when they come back, and they show the one at Tavern on the Green where the couple was eating, this big fat couple was eating.
Right.
Did you see that? And,
right.
And Madden is just so aware. He's so aware that those are fat people. And then he says, "You know, we had some good sandwiches. You wouldn't get a sandwich like that in that restaurant. That's a restaurant where you have to have special utensils for everything you eat." He's still the best. He's the absolute best.
He's good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I was calling to tell you when he screwed up at the end of the game yesterday.
Oh, Summerall? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was right at the very end. They're signing off the broadcast, and he totally screwed up the score. At the very end, you know, he said it was 20, you know, to 10, and then I beg your pardon, and then he corrected himself.
You know, anybody out there, hold on, here we got a guy who says he kept count on the beg your pardon.
All right.
Did you really, Mike?
Yeah, that's my new sport for the broadcast. And the last one he did was, the score was 20 to 10. He gave it as 21 to 10 because he couldn't figure out, you know, with the field goals, he figured it was three touchdowns. So the official score is 4 in the first quarter, 3 in the second quarter, 5 in the third quarter, 3 in the fourth quarter, and 1 for the final score. Grand total of 16. Beg your pardon.
Wow.
That is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
That is beautiful.
A guy who actually counted the number of times Pat Summerall said, "Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon." I beg your pardon. 16 times in one game.
Wow. My God.
I beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
Hold on. We got a break. I beg your pardon. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys?
Tom, Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something.
Tom, Gavin.
season. It's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to say,
John and Mike live at the Super Bowl 3 weeks from now. They will show you something.
Yep.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
Righto, hello. Donaldo Imigel, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I tried to get in before Mike made the comment, but when they picked up that guy's shirt and showed his love handle there,
yeah.
John Madden, and I quote, I'm praying somebody's got a tape of this, I quote, he didn't say he's seen him, he said, I was checking him out in the shower. And it was scary. It was scary. We figured that's probably why Howie finally retired, post-traumatic syndrome, you know Madden hanging around in the showers, checking guys out.
Gotcha, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
One thing you missed on Summerall, you know, at the end of every game, they have to do the credits.
Yeah.
He reads through who's the stats and the spotters and the producers and all. Well, he did that at the end of the third quarter. And my wife said, well, isn't he a little early with that? And then I realized, you know, there's like 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and he's talking about...
Our executive producer is Sammy Grossman.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? There was another moment during the game yesterday. It was when I guess they were coming down to the two-minute warning.
Right.
Or maybe 2 minutes left in the quarter, maybe 2 minutes left in the half. But there was a guy who was hurt on the field,
mm-hmm.
and the clock stopped at 2:06. Mm-hmm. So it was obvious that they weren't going to go to break, and Summerall starts reading the card going, we'll be back with the third quarter after this from your local Fox Station. And then the camera stays on them.
Oh.
And, you know, and that's where Madden comes in and saves his
guy. Yeah, he saves them all the time. That's
Madden
what he does.
And he goes, no, Pat, look, you know, the guy's still hurt. The clock says 2:06.
Beg your pardon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, great, thanks.
Hey, did you happen to hear Pat Summerall and John Madden going on about the inches or the millimeters and centimeters?
Yes.
I can't believe Pat Summerall wasn't smart enough to figure that out, as old as he is, but you know.
Well, you know, I like that about John Madden. I like the fact that when they came on and said, like, you know, they said that the measurement is closer than a centimeter,
mm-hmm.
Madden says, how big is a centimeter? A centimeter, a millimeter?
Right.
I don't know.
Bigger,
who knows that? I don't know that off the top of my head.
Not off the top.
Oh, come on now.
No, really.
I don't know how much a centimeter.
Does anybody know?
I don't.
A centimeter's what, like an inch?
Oh, Rob knows.
No. They're about 2.5 centimeters to an inch. You can remember it's
easy. Yeah, so that would be what I said was accurate then. It's about an inch, right? It's about that?
No, there's almost 3 centimeters to an inch. It's smaller. There's 30 centimeters to a...
All right, shut up.
All right, get out of here.
And there's 10 millimeters to a centimeter.
Shut up.
All right.
Hey, we love you down here in Greenville, guys.
See you.
Hey, take care.
Goodbye.
No, you don't have it right.
So listen, this weekend,
teacher's pet.
We never went to the movie because I insisted on barricading myself in the room and watching all of the games because
right,
you know, it was
right.
The last weekend with the four games. And even though the games on Saturday just could not suck enough ass. I mean, Minnesota blew out New Orleans and Oakland's ahead of Miami 20-0 at halftime.
You picked all the games except Minnesota and New Orleans, right?
Right. Frieda came in and said, it's 20-0. Let's go to the movies. Let's go to the movies. So I said no. So she came up with what actually ended up being a great idea. Okay, well, the Biederman guy can wait one break, okay? Biederman's here. Just hand it.
Biederman. John O'Hurley.
Biederman.
The host of To Tell the Truth.
To Tell the Truth.
The host of To Tell the Truth.
He is here. Okay, well, we'll talk to him in a second. So, here's what Frieda did. Actually, she did a nice thing. She did a nice thing that was on top of a nice thing that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you we had that fight a couple of weeks ago? Or maybe it was just last week. We've only been back from vacation a week.
Right.
I screamed at her and I said, you know, spoiled little rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in an effort to make that up to her,
right.
When I got home one day last week, I had that money I won from our fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made it all the way to the championship game. So I came home with like $300 in cash. I gave it to her.
Right.
And I said, here you go. You know, you're not a spoiled little rich girl. So I gave her money.
All right.
I said, really, take this money that I won.
Right.
It was going to be, I'd get something I want. Go buy anything you want. You know,
you're not a spoiled little rich girl. I love you. Go buy anything you want.
Go get yourself an outfit.
Yeah. Just go buy yourself a bauble.
Buy yourself a trinket.
Get yourself something nice.
Make yourself happy.
So she had been trying to find something, and she couldn't find anything. And she finally called me up on Saturday. I was at home watching the games, and she said, listen, I know what I'm going to do with that, with the fantasy football money. She said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a lot of expensive food, and I'm going to buy a very expensive bottle of wine. And what we're going to do is, the three of us, Frieda Barn and myself, we're just going to have a nice little family feast.
And drink the bottle of wine.
On Saturday night, right.
That's great. You, Bart, too?
Yeah. No, Bart had birch beer.
Oh, okay. All right. That, I was joking. That was a joke. I knew Bart wouldn't be drinking the wine. That's why. You were wrapped up in this story. You were very...
Yes,
you
know, I am.
It's a joke. I know your son would not drink a bottle. I know you wouldn't sit down and break bread and, like, kill off a bottle of wine with Bart there. You know, Daddy gets a swig, Mommy gets a swig.
Barty gets a swig. No, so she went out and got very fancy food, very expensive. Let me just tell you something. Caviar has got to be the most overrated, overpriced food in the friggin' world. I said to her, she says, would you like some caviar? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love some. So she gets out a cracker about as big as a fun-sized Snickers. I mean,
right.
A tiny cracker. She puts on a little dab of sour cream, and she puts on maybe 4 or 5 of these little caviar balls.
I mean, little fish eggs.
Yeah.
Little sturgeon eggs.
Yeah.
It varies dramatically, the price of caviar, you know, between what you buy. You can buy some stuff that's ridiculous.
I said to her, hey, come on, baby. Lay it on.
Was it beluga?
I don't know what it was, but she held up this little beaker.
Right.
And she said, look inside. See how much is in there. And there was maybe 3 teaspoons full.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I said, yeah. Pour it on. She said, that was $55.
It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right. $55.
I think there's some that you can buy in a little jar like that big, tiny little jar that's phenomenally, like that's thousands of dollars or something.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know anything about it. I don't buy caviar, but then you can go down.
And we don't either.
You can go to Giant and like get the red stuff. That's very reasonable, you know, to put on a cracker.
I don't know. The whole point was that we were going to have this expensive food because it was the money that I gave her.
Right.
To make
that's
up
nice
this
summer.
Argument. And then they went out and they bought, you know, I love blue cheese. As Buzz knows, because yes. Buzz gave me a slice of blue cheese for Christmas.
Caviar and blue cheese. What do you do for the rest of the evening? Make out?
Yeah. What they do, they got 4 different blue cheeses, and I put little flags on top of each of them.
You want to hit your fart sound effect right now.
Oh, no, I was highly fart... Oh, no, I take it back. I had bad diarrhea.
Oh, wow.
After this meal.
Blue cheese.
But you know what? Blue cheese has got an effect on me that's immediate.
Right.
Like, I eat it, and an hour later, just an explosion of wetness.
The enzyme.
comes out of my butt. But it's one of those things where you sit down, and it's like someone turns on a faucet.
Right.
And just everything.
How do you take your blue cheese? When you're on a cracker or something?
We had it on slices of apple.
Mm. Oh, really?
On slices of pear. And also on some crackers.
Okay.
So they had these 4 different blue cheeses, and I was supposed to guess which blue cheese
was the most expensive?
Cost the most. And, you know, shocker, I figured it out.
Ah, very good.
That's the best one. So then we had the wine. Which, for my money, I'm not a big wine drinker.
Red or white?
It was red.
Okay.
The red bottle of wine, of which my wife paid an obscene amount, triple the amount of money that this little thing of caviar cost.
Right.
It's really like $150 for a bottle of wine. We would normally never do that, but because this was the money that I won that I gave to her.
Right. It was just kind of a, you know, little frivolous thing.
She splurged. It was just like the regular crap that we get at Safeway.
Did your wife enjoy it?
The wine, I think we both agreed
that it wasn't that special.
That the wine was okay, but there was nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing like where you drink it and go, oh my God.
Right.
This is the greatest wine. So I guess what I'm saying is being rich is overrated because we went out and we spent a lot of money on this dinner. And
it just wasn't that special.
And no, we had a good time. The three of us had a good time. It was a wonderful family night.
But you're not, you know, if you can't afford that kind of stuff, you're not missing anything.
No, because and there was no TV. I mean, it was the night like my wife likes. We just had her goddamn light jazz on through the house. And she had candles and everything. And
was there anything else after the caviar and the blue cheese? Was there any, like, real food?
There was some mushroom pasta.
Okay. So you had the full meal.
Yeah, and she had, because my wife and my son don't eat meat, I had some nice rare roast beef.
Ah.
And then we had the little fruit tarts for dessert.
Boy, no wonder you had diarrhea.
I mean, it was quite a feast.
Boy, that'll do it, though. The apples, the blue cheese, caviar, roast beef, red wine.
Yes.
Man, your colon just must have been, okay, bring it on.
It was fantastic. It was a very nice night, and that's what I did with the fantasy football money.
Cool.
That's good.
It's a good way to spend it.
And then beyond that, the rest of the weekend, all I did was, again, wake up on Sunday, barricade myself in the room,
right,
watch all the stupid shows, watch all the stupid games, and then when I got done watching the stupid games, I got to watch the stupid show that's all about the stupid games I just watched.
Should have come with us this weekend.
Where'd you go?
Whitetail.
Did you go skiing?
Went skiing.
Did you ski?
I skied, and it was the greatest CF because I don't own skis. You know, I had that old pair, and I couldn't find the boots.
That one time we went skiing, don't you remember when we all goofed on you?
Because I had my name written on them. You're such a good memory.
You had skis. Your name was not written on them. It was like a little plaque.
It was engraved in them. Yeah.
Michael O'Mara.
And they're valueless. I went to trade them in yesterday, because, I mean, I will not rent skis again, because it was the most amazing CF that I've ever experienced in my life. More lines, more waiting, and, you know, it ended up, though, that I wasn't the one that got really uptight. It was my wife that had a woman run over her, and then my wife gave her a little bit of the shoulder. The woman went by, practically knocked Laura over, and then turned around and said, sorry. And Laura said, you don't say sorry when you run somebody over. And I'm looking back at this.
Was this on skis?
No, this was in the rental area right before we were going to get the skis.
Gotcha.
And she said, sorry. And Laura said, you don't say sorry when you, and I couldn't believe my eyes when I looked over, and Laura went, you don't say you're sorry when you go like this to somebody, and it went shoulder to shoulder, and the woman's eyes got all wide.
I
thought we were going to see a fight for a second. It's just a lot of me, people, and it was really insane. I mean, it was so long to get it done, and I realized that if you don't know the system when you're going skiing, and you have to go through the rental thing, and we tried to get lessons for my kids, and that was, it was just, but if I'd had the system, I would have been fine, but I made three runs without falling, and that was just, I went on the bunny slope the first time to get my sea legs.
Right.
Then I went up on the intermediate slope, and I made two runs on the intermediate slope, and, you know, almost seriously killed about, the kid had to be 8 or 9 years old, and he was doing okay on his little snowboard, but he didn't see me, and I didn't see him, and it was one of those deals where I was, when I'm skiing, I'm always thinking about five steps ahead, plotting my next turn, and I was looking down towards the area that I was going to make the turn in, and I'm like going, okay, right, left, back to right, and I think I'll turn left, whoa, like this, and this kid went under my legs, and I just missed it. If I had made contact, his little head would have been right about mid-thigh for me, and I would have knocked his lights out. It was incredible.
You could have killed him.
But it was actually, you know, we're going to go back. We're going to do it. We're going to do it again. We decided that's going to be the activity because, you know, it's a lot of fun, and I can't stand it. You know me. You know I'm a golfer, and I just can't stand, like, having nothing to look forward to on the weekend.
You know what we should do? We should do that together.
Go skiing?
We should do that
together. I'd love to. Absolutely.
We should go rent one of those goddamn villas.
Well, yeah, go skiing.
Have all of us live together, but like,
right.
You know, side by side.
Oh, we're getting the kids into skiing. Absolutely getting the kids into skiing.
I would love to.
Just go, you know, go to one of your places out there, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, not there where you went.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
Let's go to, you know, the white trash, Whitetail.
Yeah, well, there are different ones around the area.
You know where you should go is Deep Creek.
What I've heard is you should go to Snowshoe. which is down in West Virginia, which is supposed to be phenomenal.
Well, I would like to do that with you.
Go skiing. We'll do skiing.
Yes.
We'll go skiing on a weekend.
You and I skiing together.
We don't have to rent a villa. We'll go skiing for the. We'll do the day trip. We'll go up there and ski during the day.
It's so fun for a day.
I did it for a day. I had a good time.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I get very cranky. I like having somewhere to stay, when you're done. Well, then you just come for the day. I'll stay.
Well, we'll definitely ski together this winter. Let's do it this winter.
Okay.
Bring your son and do it. Do it this weekend.
Okay.
Do it this weekend. We'll ski this weekend.
I can't do it this weekend and get my stitches out this week.
Well, can you ski at all with your condition?
In a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. We'll go up to Whitetail. It's an hour and a half from where I live, and we'll do it. We'll go up there. There's just no place to. They have little like condos up there, but they don't. It doesn't look to me like. If you want to stay overnight, you can stay like at the hotel in Hagerstown. Okay. Well, we'll do a day trip though. I'd love to do that. Bring your son up there and Freed up there, and we'll do skiing. For a day.
We should do that.
Absolutely. Because I'm trying to get the girls to learn how to ski and do all that thing.
Because you mentioned sea legs. My wife's got two of the prettiest sea legs you ever want to see you in Toledo. Okay, but I would like to do that.
Yeah, it would be fun. You know, we ought to do another one of those broadcasts up there. That's fun. We haven't done that in a few years, and we really ought to do that, where we take a bunch of people and go skiing.
Yes, because we brought that before I learned to ski. We actually broadcast live with you.
Skiing down. I skied down the same slope that I did before. The only time I almost fell is when I, this would have been horribly embarrassing, is when I was standing still. Because, I go like a few feet, stop, a few feet, stop, a few feet, stop. Not really conditioned to skiing yet. And I was stopping, looking around, and I looked behind me at somebody who was skiing behind me and almost lost my balance standing still. That would have been mighty embarrassing.
All right, well, then that's a date.
Absolutely.
Let's do that.
A lot of fun.
Buzz, and I know, of course, you're so brittle, so fragile.
Yes.
I would ask you, but... Thank you. I know, Buzz. I know. The bone. Do you ski, Buzz?
No, I don't. I've never had any interest in it. I have a great fear of snapping bones.
No, come on. Seriously. Do you ski?
No, I do not ski.
Would you like
I have
to
never
learn?
Skied. No, not really.
Okay. All right. Ed?
The only time I skied was on this show. I fell down.
Did you enjoy it?
That was okay. I'd go again.
All right, you too.
All right.
Well, good. We'll do a skiing trip. And not that, not with like tape recorders or anything. We'll have fun.
We'll
right?
just go in real life and do it.
Go and really enjoy ourselves.
Oh, and speaking of tape recorders, goddamn, I got to go to a lunch with Dennis this week.
That's right.
Oh God! Down at the Palm Restaurant.
Show me more.
But I want to keep the game. The day a secret. Timeout. When we come back, the guy
John O'Hurley,
yes.
host of the new To Tell the Truth,
yes.
and of course Peterman. On Seinfeld.
No, we'll be right back with him.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child, and the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given, because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
Soothing your severe buttock trauma, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, very exciting today on the show. Big showdown with WNEW. I'm sure we'll have fallout to tell you about on that tomorrow's episode.
Oh, I'm sure you'll be having a few conversations.
But we're done there. And we got Elvis's birthday today. And
that's right.
We got the Tell the Truth guy coming in now.
John O'Hurley.
And frankly, I don't know dick about this new TV show he's on. I do know.
Well, it was a classic show. Here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen. John O'Hurley. Yes, he said dick. Yes.
I did love him on Seinfeld and his commercials. And
Hi, John.
How are you?
How you doing?
Do you mind tremendously we ask your handler to leave the room? Outside, please.
We like our private time with our celebrity guests, sir. You understand that.
That's right. Hurt me, though.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. God, you're a handsome man, sir.
Oh, I know you have higher standards than that.
No, look at you. God, you're beautiful.
Yeah?
So this is the way you talk in real life.
No, actually, it's all done, most of it's done with mirrors.
Now, listen, I'm just goofing when I said I've not seen your show To Tell the Truth. I've seen the show To Tell the Truth, and I want you to tell the truth now, please.
All right.
Paula Poundstone.
You know what Charlie Broyhill just did?
What?
Just cracks me up. Charlie Broyhill gets two Post-it notes, puts them in front of John O'Hurley, puts one that says Mike and one that says Don, puts an arrow pointing over towards me. me and an arrow pointing towards you. I've never seen him do that with anybody.
That's right.
John, did Charlie pick up on you being particularly challenged or something where you were going to require that or what?
Upstairs in the conference room, they have a little test you fill out. And according to the score, I'm not, as they say, all broke out with brilliance. I'm cute, but I'm about as stupid as they come.
So Paula Poundstone.
So Paula, no, I'm John O'Hurley. You want me to get your little post-it note?
I know that Paula Poundstone is one of the regulars on your panel.
She is.
On To Tell the Truth.
She is.
And who does she come to the studio with? Boys or girls?
That's a good first question.
Oh, about that. For 30 seconds, and I was going to talk about the sexual orientation of my
celebrity. Sure, why not? Does she always wear a tie and a business suit?
Yes, she does, actually. Okay. She always says it's fine.
Who does she come with? Do you ever notice her walking in with anyone?
I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth, all right.
She has five kids that she brings to the studio, though.
Does she really?
Mm-hmm.
Really five? Is she like Rosie O'Donnell, where she's adopted a lot of children?
Like a Mother Teresa, she really.
Really?
Oh, well, truly. I mean, and all the kids, frankly, are all broken wings. There, two of them are crippled. She's
a good person.
Oh, in my book, that's Mother Teresa right
okay.
there.
Okay, all right.
Good lady.
You know, you're free.
Good.
Funny. You're funny. You're funny just when you talk in real life. You're like,
you can see. He's the guy.
Yeah.
You were completely and totally typecast. I saw you.
Yeah. I feel like going into the Joe Pesci routine. What do you mean, funny? How am I funny? Huh? Am I real funny to you? Like funny, like ha ha?
Do I amuse you?
I
think we have that tape somewhere lying around, too, that we play all the time.
You are, though, the same guy as on Seinfeld. I mean, at least your mannerisms and the way that you speak, and you're also that way in the... What's the commercial where you wore the coat?
Yeah, I have a stick up my ass. You're right.
What is the... Yeah, that commercial, that's a long-running commercial you do.
Which
with the togas.
Oh, the togas.
Xerox, right.
I play God for Xerox. Yeah.
And
I don't hand out titles easily.
That is the real you. So when you... That had to be a great gig, because when you got the gig on Seinfeld, you are you. You didn't have to, like, tweak it up. You just had to overplay you.
He's a little tweaked up.
I mean, yeah, well, you overplay you is what it is.
That's all it is. Exactly.
That's cool.
There are a lot of people like us, I'm sure you get this, who love the Jerry Seinfeld show.
Uh-huh.
But beyond Jerry, who in a lot of episodes really was worthless.
He was a good barometer.
The people that we liked the most were like you and the guy who was Putty.
Putty, sure. That's why it was a great show.
All the fringe characters.
Yeah, the fringe characters surrounding cast members.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives the writers a chance to write well. I mean, Jerry's character is not interesting because he's got to be kind of the normal guy. That's what's normal, and all the chaos operates around him. It's a standard sitcom.
Are you friends with Jerry?
Am I friends with Jerry? Is he like a really good friend? You mean?
Is he acquaintance? Is he a friend?
No, actually, we developed a real good friendship. I don't see him that often anymore. I'll see him this week probably when I go to New York.
So when you go to New York, will you call him?
Yes, I will.
And now when you
call him, right up the street from the hotel I'll be staying at.
Will you have to call his secretary? Will you have to call his manager? Or will you call Jerry directly?
I will call Jerry directly.
Wow. Directly.
Oh, all right. Then you're definitely, you're a pal.
Directly. Actually, we have the same producer. The people that do his American Express spots and the people that do my Xerox spots are one and the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except he hasn't bankrupted American Express and I've taken Xerox back to pre-IPO status.
So you consider him to be a friend?
I do.
A friend. Have you seen his house?
The one out in the Hamptons?
The Billy Joel house?
Oh, no. I've seen pictures of it. I don't go out to the Hamptons. They won't let me there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who else?
They're about killing property values.
Mm-hmm. Who else from that show would you consider to be a friend?
Jason.
Jason Alexander.
Yeah, right. Jason Alexander.
And Julia. Michael, I don't see that often.
Who did you hate from Seinfeld?
Nobody. Really?
Oh, come on.
No, seriously.
Not even a bit player?
There wasn't any. No, everybody was. It was the
nobody was really, got on your bad side.
What about that Johnny Cochran guy?
No, he's a fine guy. No, there wasn't anybody. Everybody just was glad to be there. It was the nicest working environment
ever. Now, you chose to do this To Tell the Truth thing after the stint on Seinfeld, and you did the commercials. Did you want at any time to do more sitcom kind of things? Like maybe, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Doing a spinoff with a character like yours.
They had talked about a spinoff of Peterman, but I think that would have gone the way of what Michael Richards did. It was just, mm-hmm. I think it was...
Do you feel bad for him?
No, I don't. But I think he was a sitting duck. I mean, and if I had done a spinoff of Peterman, it would have been a sitting duck. You know, it could never be as good as the ensemble that was put together that,
Were you ever a classical music announcer?
No, I started... No,
you
I
sound like you could do that. You sound like you could say, oh, that was Beethoven's Fifth Symphony today, and it could be a... Are you a classically trained actor?
Classic.
Where does this all come from is what I'm getting at.
Are you really classically trained?
I am classically trained.
Do something classic for us.
Shakespeare, do a soliloquy.
Come on.
Do it. Buzz, right there, our newsman, right across the glass over there. Right. He can do, John, he can do Shakespeare. He can do it right off the top of his head.
Can he do Peterman, though?
Can you do Peterman?
Absolutely
Buzz,
not.
Do some Shakespeare, and then let's see if John can one-up you.
No, you know, better yet, see if he can name the thing you're doing here.
Do it, Buzz.
Where be these enemies? Capulet, Montague. See what a scourge is laid upon your hate that heaven finds means to kill your joys with love.
Name it, John.
And I, for winking at your discords, too, have lost a brace of kinsmen.
Can you name it?
Yeah, that was Puck's Wet Dream in Midsummer Night's Dream.
You got it. That's great. That's great. All right, now it's your turn. Now you do want to see if you stump Buzz.
All right, very good.
He will. He will.
Oh, look at
this is the cultured part of the show right
he's
now.
He's acting right now.
Yes, he's acting.
I will actually give you a monologue. better than a classic one. A Peterman monologue that was cut from Seinfeld.
Oh, good.
All right.
Set you up on this. Anyway, it was from the Friars Club episode when Rob Schneider was playing a hard of hearing assistant, and I thought he and Elaine were having like a little tete-a-tete, and I was trying to encourage.
Oh, right.
So I break into the office. I drop a couple of tickets on her desk, and I tell her that she and Bob can knock off a little early to get ready. And she goes, Bob? And I said, Elaine, don't worry. I, too, am no stranger to love on the clock. As a young lad, my father apprenticed me to a honey factory in Belize. The chief beekeeper was this horrible hag of a woman with gnarled teeth and a giant wart that she called a nose. She was not attractive, even by backwards standards. But love is truly blind, Elaine, and as the days went on, working closer and closer together, that sweet smell of honey in the air, I knew I had to have that horrible creature. And I did. So you and Bob have a good time, sir.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. That is fun. We really appreciate you doing that.
Now, name that.
Cutting room floor.
You know what I appreciate about you? The fact that you were on this show. And you're not one of these guys. Anybody watch that Beverly Hillbillies show the other night?
I did. I watched it. It was very sad. Jethro was very, very sad.
Jethro's on, Max Baer.
He's
on
Max Baer with his medallion.
Mm-hmm. For the rest of my life, I will be known as Jethro Bodine. I now know why people put guns in their mouths and kill themselves. Yeah. I mean, Christ.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right?
You had a cherry gig, and people still love you for it.
I have the greatest life in the world because of it, and I don't...
And I would imagine that you get that probably more than a lot of actors when you're Peterman, and people, probably producers just say, can you do... You know, how many things are you offered like that?
I have one. I mean, I have a sitcom on Thursday nights now on Following Friends called, this week it's called The Weber Show. Last week it was called Cursed.
Okay.
I haven't killed that yet, but it's gone.
Yeah, that show.
The character's back over there. I mean, essentially that's what it is.
That show that you're on with the guy from Wings, Stephen Weber.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Elliott is on that show, and he's very funny also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice cast, really nice cast.
But the show, I just read about it today that they're going to pull it off for sweeps?
They're going to pull us off for sweeps because they don't feel the show is strong enough to go up against Survivor. Television programming is more like playing chess now. It's like, with a bunch of idiots out there that don't even know the game. So, you just go, okay, whatever you think.
But you got to be doing great, right? I mean, you got the Seinfeld thing. You got
that, and, it even gets worse. I have my own golf show. Believe it or not, the PGA.
You have a golf show?
Yeah, the PGA. I host the PGA Tour show every week called Get Golf with the PGA Tour.
Mike loves golf. When do you see that? When can you see that? How does one go about seeing that?
We're back on the air January 21st, USA Cable.
Really?
Yep.
What's your handicap?
I'm a 4.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Of course he is. He's beautiful. A 4 is good, right?
4 is very good.
Well, a 4 is okay if you're not going to win any money with it.
It's not going to win any money, but you can play and throw in.
You will walk up to the first tee, and you'll introduce yourself to the 20 handicap you're going to play and unload $400 right into his hand.
Because
there's no way you're going to beat him.
What he's saying is he is a player of such an ability, a 4 handicap, that he has to give strokes away a lot of times when he plays like a money match.
Oh,
he's
so you're
play against
good.
So if you play a 20 handicap, a guy says, I'm a 20, and he says he's a 4. He's being honest. The guy with the 20 is going to,
rake
him over the coals and take all the money. Well, I'm super into golf. That's cool. I'll watch for that.
You're a good-looking guy. You have
three TV shows on right now. You're incredibly popular from the last television show that you were featured on.
Yeah, this is awful. I can't believe, yeah, this is not looking good.
Do you travel all around? Yeah, I'm sorry to stay on the golfing. You travel all around to, like, all the golf courses?
Let me put it
like
this way. Hosting the PGA Tour show is a little bit like if I said to you, Mike, I know you like women, so we're going to take you to any strip club you want to go to each week.
Really?
That's what it is. I can go to any golf course I want to, and we just do the show from there, and I have a lot of fun.
And they see you coming, and they just lay out the red carpet for you and everything like that.
Yeah.
Are you a single guy?
Man.
Yeah. I live in an airplane, so no one will have me.
Oh, wow.
Or procreate with me.
You get laid a lot?
No, well, I just answered that question for you, didn't I?
When you get laid a lot, do you get laid mainly from Seinfeld, the commercials, the Steven Weber show, To Tell the Truth, your golf show?
It's mostly the physical, actually it's physical ability, I would say.
Of course.
Well, I want you to look across there and you see small hands and small feet. All right. I think that ends that argument right there. That's why I live in an airplane.
Oh, man. But, I mean, if you're a single guy, you like to golf, I mean, that's not a bad life, I guess.
Huh? Oh, Mike, you know who else is on To Tell the Truth?
Who?
Kitty Carlisle.
Kitty Carlisle!
Now, listen.
She was on one show.
Is that really Kitty Carlisle? Is that an animatronic dummy?
We had her on for one show. It was her 90th birthday.
I saw the show, and I wondered what cemetery you dug her up out of.
She is 90.
It was on a couple weeks ago. We were on vacation.
It was her 90th birthday. She's still sharp as a tack, and she's but she is. You know, listen, when you're 90 years old.
not a chance I'll make it to 90.
I don't think either one of us will make it to 90 years old.
Your misspent youth is going to kick in a lot earlier than hers did.
You seem To Tell the Truth going for a long time, or are you going to do this for, you know, like Gary Moore did for a good chunk of time?
Listen, it's the greatest job in the world. Mm-hmm. This is, we work every other weekend. We shoot 10 shows on a weekend. What more could I ask?
Haven't we always said that game show hosting is
great gig?
You know, have you ever done any DJ work? Because, I mean, so many times, like when you think of the days of Jim Lang, Tom Kennedy, all those guys, you know, they were DJs out in Los Angeles that went into TV game show hosting.
I never did any radio. No, they've got higher standards than that.
Now, you could, though.
Who is your game show MC mentor?
I don't really have one, actually. You know, because I'm not really a big... I was never a big fan of the format.
How many could you name?
I can name the guys that did To Tell the Truth, but that's probably it.
Who's the host of The Price is Right? You know that.
I'm sure I do. Yeah, of course. What's Bob Barker, Alex Trebek, I can name.
Okay, who's the host of the new Hollywood Squares?
Tom Bergeron. Okay, actually, a good friend.
Before him.
Who did Hollywood Squares before that?
Hey, Tom? I've got the ultimate question. Yeah. And who hosted...
John Davidson.
...the fantastic show Press Your Luck?
We all know that.
Press Your Luck.
If you know, if you, whenever you're discussing
like
game shows,
sounds like something the Playboy Channel got a hold of. Tonight on Press Your Luck,
the immensely talented Peter Tamarkin.
You mean you never saw that show? Whammy.
They had a little cartoon Whammy come out which would take everybody's money. He looked at the clock. He looked at the clock when we got into this.
Oh, God!
My God! I must get to the golf course. All right.
Who is the original host of the dating game?
Was that be Jim Lang?
Is that Jim Lang?
Jim Lang.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, Ed, that was, and you needed that in the form of a question. Who was Jim Lang?
Newlywed game.
Newlywed game.
It's kind of a prick.
I'm blocking on it right now.
No, I can tell you. Bob Eubanks, yes.
Bob Eubanks, right.
I played golf with Bob Eubanks.
Have you really?
Yes, I did.
Who's the most famous person you played golf with?
Michael Jordan.
Or Tiger.
Tiger.
You played with Tiger and Michael Jordan.
And when you play with them,
now he's starting to piss me off.
You get one free swing.
Right.
When you play with those guys, are they excited to be playing because it's you? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
seriously. And does Michael Jordan come up, hey, Peterman?
No, we have we're
your friends?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, F you.
Wow.
Oh, this sucks.
Oh,
you're friends with Michael Jordan.
I am indeed.
How did you become friends with Michael Jordan?
We are wine collectors and drinking buddies from a while back.
Oh, my God, he's a drinking buddy.
Have you ever gotten drunk with Michael Jordan?
We've had some late, but we drink red wine. Now, who was talking about red wine earlier?
I was.
Talking about red wine.
I was taught, yes. I was hearing
the... Do you remember the wine you got? Maybe he'd know the wine you got.
No, I'm sure he would use that as a urine sample. You know, for us, $150 for a bottle of wine
is a lot of money.
Was a lot of friggin' money.
It sure is.
And you played with Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You actually played 18 holes with Tiger Woods.
Actually played with him back when he was 12 years old. His high school coach was my ex-wife's, let me walk this down here, uncle. So
really,
and it's still a very good friend. He's still a very good friend.
So at 12 years old, what was he shooting?
Under par. You know, let me tell you. Really? What the most staggering statistic about Tiger Woods, and you will understand this, but unfortunately, Don will not. In the second place high school athlete or golfer in all of Orange County, which is where Tiger was playing high school golf, was an average of 2 strokes over par. Tiger was 39 strokes under par for that entire season, his senior year.
See, it's been from when he was a little bitty kid.
That's staggering.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's the way he just distanced everybody else.
It's truly amazing.
Yeah.
So how do you know Michael Jordan?
Well, Michael has a golf tournament. I mean, I actually know Michael through golf. That's certainly not from basketball. Look at me.
He has the big golf tournament down in the Bahamas, right? Is that
well,
where he is?
It's just moved down to the Bahamas. We've had, but we're also part of that Celebrity Players Tour that we play up in.
Someday I'll play in one of those tournaments.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. What kind of magic potion do I have to change lives with you? Can I tell you, you know what? I get up and
Do you honestly want my life?
I take my kid to school every day. I come home.
You know what?
My wife busts my balls and tells me that I'm useless.
Take up the game again.
No.
Take it up seriously. We'll get invited to all those things.
I don't want the golf. I want all the accoutrements.
You could have your own. The two of you could have your own golf tournament together.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine anything more insufferable than that.
Look at this. This guy got 5 TV shows on at once.
I know.
Getting laid all the time.
No, it's horrible. Just give me 2 more.
Friends with Michael Jordan. Friends with Tiger Woods.
I know, it sucks. It's not fair. And look at him.
It's not fair.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it is. That's why we're here and he's, going to get on a plane and go play golf. When's your next round of golf?
Believe it or not, I'm going to be in New York City recreating Tiger's American Express ad tomorrow in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, you know the American Express one where he shoots across?
You know, if you were
I'm
not...
I'm going to be doing it in the snow up there.
Fantastic.
If you were not such a likable guy, you would really be a prick. Because you have so much going for you.
And I can't get a date.
Oh, please.
Really?
BS.
I believe that.
Listen,
right.
Robbie, give me my sex music. We're going to give John the sex quiz.
Now, John, we have to tell you something. We've had some problems recently with the sex quiz. We had a very, very large upheaval when we gave the sex quiz to Emmy winner Patricia Heaton.
Now, listen, she's the only celebrity who's given us a hard time.
So we have to tell you going in that this is the sex quiz, and if there's anything you don't feel comfortable with, you can simply say, plead the fifth, like you did. But these are very, very detailed sexual questions. And every celebrity that's been on the show in the last 5 years, it seems, is it more than that or is it less than that, has taken the sex quiz.
And not only that, we've taken it ourselves.
Right. I love the music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, from
this
a porno.
This is going to be in the mood.
Absolutely.
John, have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex?
Nope.
No?
But I have aspirations.
John, have you ever had sex with a woman while she was menstruating?
He's thinking about this, ladies and gentlemen.
About it. Not to memory.
Not to memory.
Not to memory.
Possibly. I'll take the possibly.
Oh, that's a yes, then.
Give him a yes on that one, Buzz.
Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
Nope.
No.
What about with Tiger Woods?
Yep. Absolutely not.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
No.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yeah. Oh, Cabana Boy. Time to flip me.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
Never.
Never.
All right.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
He's playing piano on the...
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, most people have. Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
Nope.
Nope. Have you ever had sex in the no-no? Either given it or received it. And you know what I mean by the no-no.
No.
No.
The answer is no.
Good man. Have you J-O'd today?
No.
No. Have you had sex in a car?
Yes.
Yes. You ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And the money question. Roughly, what is your total number of sexual partners?
I will tell you that Diamond Dallas Page, the wrestler, told us 1,800.
1,800.
Oh. Well, Chamberlain said 20,000.
Yeah, he said 20,000. Greg Brady gave us, I believe, 85 to 90.
Something like that. Absolutely. And we've had low numbers also.
Yeah.
I would say comfortably in the hundreds.
That immediately explodes you into the top.
That's a beautiful answer. Now, Buzz, who keeps records on this, Buzz, how did John do?
Well, I think we're astounded at only five yes answers, but he made up with it with hundreds of partners. So there's your score. Five yeses and hundreds of partners.
Behind, give him a round of applause.
Behind the two zeros, could you put a number in front of the two zeros? Would it be 100, 200, 300?
I'd have to go back and look at the registry.
Well, listen, John, your show, To Tell the Truth, airs around the country in syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're on around the country, but here in D.C., WUSA, Channel 9. What am I promoting here? Oh, they're giving away a trip to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're sending two all-expense-paid trips to the Super Bowl. The rules are these.
Okay.
As follows.
Be prepared. This is like Dollar Kino I'm reading right
now.
Okay. If you watch the show tonight, it begins tonight through the 18th or 17th, yes, through the 18th, 17th.
You're doing a great job with
so far.
You do a better job on To Tell the Truth.
The rules, you have to keep them straight.
Of course.
But if you watch the show and you record the two people that are telling the truth in the show,
mm-hmm.
you then go to the
website,
WUSATV9.com. You register on there, put the two numbers in, that registers you for the drawing. And you can do one entry per day, so you get a total of eight entries if you want to. And there are going to be two sets of tickets given away, all expenses paid.
Does it strike you that maybe this contest is a bit too heady for your average To Tell the Truth viewer?
Oh, it's too heady for the host.
I mean, you lost me here.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's actually very simple. All you have to do is watch the show, record the two winners, and
go to the website.
And I'm just curious, my own personal curiosity here, how does one see you on that PGA Tour show? Is that on the golf channel?
Or USA.
USA Cable starting January 21st, every Saturday, 8:30 in the morning.
USA Cable.
I didn't read your bio. Shocker. We never do.
Yeah.
But I see here that you were in the comedy same time next year. Mm-hmm. Now, is that with the two people who go and have an affair and they meet every year?
Alan Alda?
Yeah, the movie. He did it with Loretta Swit.
You remember Loretta?
Yeah, that cow.
Hot lips.
you did a, was this a stage production?
We did the stage production of it, yeah.
Where forever, how do they possibly make her look young in the beginning of the production?
Well, they wigged her a little bit there.
Because the premise is that it's this married dude and this married girl, and they...
Yeah, but they're different. I mean, they could be different ages, and it doesn't really matter.
Sounds like we learned a new Hollywood term, too, that if somebody's out in Hollywood, they want to look at, wig me. Wig me, please.
Yeah, it's like Pacino says when he talks about graying his hair or darkening his hair, paint it, man, just paint it.
Well, John, it was a pleasure meeting
nice
you.
Nice to have you. Nice to have me. Nice
Absolutely.
To be had.
Very nice meeting you.
John O'Hurley, thank you very much. Thank you, John.
Just get out.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
It was a pleasure, because we like talking about you after you leave.
All right. And I'm going to leave the two stickers here, because the following guest may need the...
Oh, the Elvis guy, right? The Elvis impersonator.
That'd be fantastic.
Right.
Thanks, John. I liked him right up until the golf thing, and then I'm just...
You're in love with him now.
That's incredible.
Bye, John.
Bye. There he goes.
God.
Playing golf with Michael Jordan.
He wouldn't last a day on me. What I mean is...
What was that? That was it.
He wouldn't
last a day in you? Was that...
And, sort of, I mean, if we were to actually, like...
I'm glad you didn't say you wouldn't last a day in him.
If we were to switch lives.
Right.
I mean, him with his fancy manicured hands and his beautiful chiseled face and his exquisite hair. You know, let him get up at 6 o'clock some morning and have his wife tell him he's a slob and have to take the kids to school.
That's right.
And then argue with stupid program directors and have your job hang by a thread.
I know. Now it's worse. The depression is worse right now.
Yeah. Mm.
Nice guy, though. Very nice guy.
Oh, he's very affable.
Mm. And he does the Peterman thing, which I like. Mm. I like it when somebody that's been on a famous television show comes into the studio, our little studio, gives us a little taste of that.
Unlike Jethro. Yeah. Oh, goddamn. Mm.
You see that outfit Jethro was wearing, too, with the big medallion, and he was wearing my glasses.
He was.
He was wearing my sunglasses.
You know, it is too bad that we are feuding with Max Bayer.
Yeah.
Hey, Robbie, Why don't you tomorrow put a call into Max Bayer?
All right.
And see if he's ready once and for all
to bury the hatchet.
To end the feud with us.
I wanted to ask you, since you watched that special, did he use it as an opportunity to tell everyone what jerks you guys were? Because that's what he said he'd do the rest of his life.
No, he didn't say anything about it.
Really? Because he said in any interview he'd ever did, he'd go on and on about what jerks Don and Mike are.
But I'll tell you, those pictures of the Irene Ryan without the granny makeup.
Oh, baby.
Oh.
Yeah. But the funniest part is, Jester's here, and he's got this, like, Mercedes thing around his neck.
He just looked like... Like, seriously, like a jive casino character.
He said, for the rest of my life, wherever I go, I'm going to be Jethro Bodine.
You know where they hired him? Did you hear that part where it was the stupid grin?
No, I didn't.
They put him on. It wasn't because of his... He couldn't do the accent. At the time, he didn't know how to do the accent, but he had this stupid grin. So that's how he got the gig. He had a very stupid grin. And Buddy Ebsen, it was really one of the best E! True Hollywood stories that I've seen in a long time. I mean, if you like the Beverly Hillbillies, they gave more insight to behind the scenes. And one of the things that amazed me was that Buddy Ebsen took the role only on the condition that Jed would never be the butt of jokes. That they would never be pointed at Jed. And if you think about that...
He never was.
Jed was always that kind of above the fray.
Right.
Pretty cool.
And what is it that Jethro said? Oh, when he was doing this whole thing, he said, I'll always be known as Jethro Bodine. Donna, what's her name?
Donna Douglas.
Will always be known as Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae, right.
Now, as I watched the show, I saw that Ellie Mae had no problem being...
But Ellie Mae was all dressed up as Ellie Mae, like at 70 years old.
Right. She had the shirt that tied around her,
right?
Around her belly.
Right.
And she said like a million times, y'all come back now, here.
Absolutely.
Like, she had no problem being Ellie Mae.
Sure. I guess Mr. Drysdale, they didn't interview him or Miss Hathaway, because I think they're underground now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Very good.
But amazingly, Buddy Ebsen hangs on.
I like being on the show, Mr. Drysdale. Let me out of here.
All right, time out. The Elvis guy in a second, but first... Clear these lines. You know, we do have cash money. I'm trying to give away now his secret song, number 3.
It's very complicated.
An impossible song. Give you a shot at the money if you're the 100th person to call us now on the toll-free at 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys?
Tom Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something. Tom Gavin, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to save.
John and Mike live at the Super Bowl 3 weeks from now. They will show you something.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
And we're going to hold off with the Elvis guy for just a second. Today is Elvis's birthday, and I think we've shown incredible restraint.
Yes.
Yes, we have. I mean, of course, it was helped by the fact that we had to get all the crap with WNEW done at the beginning of the show, and then...
Very good.
Then Biederman came in.
Biederman.
With all of that... We've still not even touched on the fact today is Elvis's birthday.
Hey.
And we're going to have a special Elvis treat for you in a second. And we're going to hear the entire unabridged, unedited Elvis rave out.
Good. This is when he was out in Las Vegas and he raved out on stage about things that had been said about him, written about him. And he was talking about how he was, sober as a judge when, in fact, he was completely wasted.
At this day and age with Jackie, you can't even get sick. I was in a hospital.
Maids, Jack, people talking.
Freaks who carry your luggage up to your room.
I got sick in the hospital.
Man, this day and age, you can't even get sick.
Strung out.
I've never been strung out on anything except music.
Music, Jack.
Music.
Come on, Jack.
His name is John O'Grady.
It will fascinate you.
God, we know it by heart. Why should we even play the tape when we know it by heart?
Because Elvis does it a little better.
That's coming up in just a second. And I know a caller 100 straight ahead. There was something in the Washington Post magazine yesterday that I just had to share with you. This guy, Gene Weingarten, who writes a column that normally I would never read, called Blow the Beltway.
Uh-huh. Right.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when, for whatever reason, it's longer than a couple of years ago, I got on that goddamn Anthony Robbins kick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where I bought those stupid tapes.
Right. We were all very frightened during that period of time. We were worried about you.
You told me I was an idiot, and it finally all came to a head when I actually went to one of his gigantic meetings where all he had people do was stand on chairs while he played I'm Your Boogeyman by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
And told people to live with passion.
Right. I came back and I said, "This the biggest huckster in the history of man. I learned nothing about myself."
And they dissed you. The real reason, though, was that they didn't let you meet him.
Yes, I was supposed to get into a private session with
That's
him.
Right. And they dissed you something awful, and then you got angry, and then you realized that it was a... That's what opened your eyes. When they dissed you, that's when you, you came to. Otherwise, I think you were going to go down to, you know, Honduras and drink the Kool-Aid.
No. Listen, to be fair, to be honest, I was mad that I was dissed, but I was also disenfranchised. As soon as I arrived at the...
You hated the whole thing. You hated the whole crowd participation stuff.
It was at the Baltimore Arena, where it was a lot of standing on your chair and introducing yourself to the person next to you, and playing Billy Ocean, get out of my dreams, get into my car.
You weren't enamored of the goofy stunts.
No. So anyway, this guy, Gene Weingarten, he wrote much more eloquently than I could ever have described the show. When Anthony Robbins was here in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, the show, which billed itself as a serious seminar on success...
That's the one they advertised here, right, where he was talking about Norman Schwarzkopf and all
right. Based on philosophies developed by the leading motivational scholars of our time, began with the Washington Wizards cheerleaders in tight leather trousers. Then Robbins, a man of Frankensteinian proportions, strode the stage and harangued the crowd to awaken the giant within themselves.
Frankensteinian.
Robbins said even things that were not technically English. Quote, focus is reality to the individuality, even though it is not reality in actuality.
Right, here we go.
Double talk.
Periodically, Robbins hooched up the crowd into a peak state. Now, this is exactly what I'd hated.
Right.
Where they yelled at the top of their lungs and leaped into the air. 9,000 people ecstatically bouncing up and down as if on trampolines.
Rob, can you turn that down a little bit in the back? I kind of got to hear that machine back there.
So he goes on to talk about the Joan London and Norman Schwarzkopf. But the best part of this article is...
Right.
When he brings out Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Because listen to what Donald Trump says. First off, Donald Trump shuffled on stage, shoulders hunched, and explained his presence. And here's the quote verbatim. Tony pays me a lot of money. I don't ask questions. I come, I do it. Trump confessed that he likes to hang around with people who are suffering financially. Another quote. They're effing losers because they're depressed and they keep their mouths shut at dinner and they don't hog the conversation. Trump was serious. Imagine this.
I mean, if you are going to a seminar where you're going to listen to Donald Trump, you are a loser and you deserve what you get. And all Donald Trump is doing is telling you like it is. But Donald Trump is the last person in the world who you want to get advice from.
What's so great is that all the schmucks, and I'm one of the schmucks who had paid like $200 to go to one of these things before,
are just eating it up with a spoon.
Well, no, he says that people didn't know how to react to this.
Right.
That what Donald Trump had to say was so 180 degrees away from the positive messages that everybody else was putting out. Let's see. Trump was serious. Think of the bluntest object you can, blunter than a torpedo. Let's say a cow. Trump's words hit the audience like a cow dropped from a helicopter. People didn't know what to make of it. I think part of them wanted to cringe. Next, Trump enumerated his principles for success. Points 1 and 2 were think big and stay focused. Point number 3, be paranoid. People are vicious. They're always looking to screw you. Even your best friend wants to steal your wife and take your money. Point 6 and point 7, when someone is looking to screw with you, get even with the bastard. Go after him as viciously and violently as you can.
Thank you, Donald.
I once said this in front of 20 priests, and one said that wasn't very nice, and I said, Father, you'll get to heaven, but not me, and in the meantime, I have to go by my principles.
Wow.
To me, this is the funniest, and it's only funny to me because I've been to this Tony Robbins thing.
Right.
Where all he preaches is, hey, it's positive mind over matter. Mm-hmm. You put the brainwashing tapes in your car where you say to yourself, I can achieve my goal. I am a positive person. He hires Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says, everybody wants to screw you. Even your best friend wants to steal your wife and take your money. It's fantastic.
Yeah, the Donald, this is his big, motivational seminar.
And they say, why'd you come out here? Because Tony pays me a lot of money.
There you go.
I don't ask questions. I just come and I do it. So then the guy ends the article by saying he calls Donald Trump and he wants to tell Donald Trump that he wants to make fun of the entire Tony Robbins event. And he wants to do it as viciously and violently as possible. It's richly deserved, but I feel guilty about being mean. What do I do?
Who's talking right now?
Okay, this is the guy who's writing the article.
Okay.
He's talking to himself. He's saying, I want to call Donald Trump now and get Donald Trump's response on the fact that I want to write a bad article about the Tony Robbins experience.
Okay, all right.
Donald Trump's answer, Jesus Christ, that's an interesting question. Pause. I say go for it. Write the article.
Sure.
I've never had any love for Donald Trump and that raccoon on top of his head.
Yep.
But that had to be for those 9,000 Moonies who were at the MCI arena.
Had to be kind of a rude awakening there.
Oh, I can only imagine. God.
But, I mean, Tony Robbins strikes me as a guy that has a rather tightly controlled ship. And it's almost like he was ragging on the whole experience.
Yeah.
Now, in that article, did Tony Robbins want him to do that? Is that what he hired Donald Trump to do, to come out and rag on the whole thing?
I can't believe it, because it says, by and large, Tony Robbins' message is touchy-feely.
Right.
He has the audience hug each other and administer back massages, but the final speaker turned out to be Donald Trump.
Wow.
To say that Trump has class doesn't do him justice.
You know, it's so funny. Tony Robbins and anybody like this, they talk about how successful they are, and they'll teach you the secrets of their success. Well, the secrets of their success are teaching you. That's how they get their empire, and it's a scam.
He writes, Donald Trump walked into this goody-two-shoes event and altered the atmosphere as suddenly as a stink bomb in a eucalyptus grove. So obvious lunch. No, this was not the message that Anthony Robbins thought that...
I'd love to know how many times Donald Trump has spoken at one of these Robbins seminars.
Oh, I think that's probably the first and only time.
Yeah, maybe it was, absolutely.
Can you imagine he's telling people after 2 hours of this brainwashing of jumping up on your chairs...
The only reason I'm here is because he paid me a lot of money.
He says, be paranoid. Even your best friend wants to screw you and take your wife. Oh, God. Fantastic.
Donald Trump ought to have his own seminar.
Well, that is an excellent
article. Now, that to me would be scary. It'd be depressing.
That was an excellent article. And I read it with great interest because I had, for a brief time, bought into that crap myself.
I don't know how you started doing that. I forgot how
the
you
infomercials.
The root of
late
evil.
Late night, right? Late night infomercials. And you could listen to the tapes in your car on your way to work.
Yes. You brought it into the show, too. I'll never forget, Can I? Constant and never-ending improvement. You were lecturing everybody around the show about this is what you need to do.
And now
we were ready, seriously. We were all ready to put you in a bag and take you to Spain.
I now know that K-A-N-I is K-R-A-P. Absolutely. See, but you remembered it.
I did remember it. Yeah, I remembered it. Absolutely. Can I? You used to say it on the show. It was hysterical.
God, what a dope I was.
Really was. Constant and never-ending improvement.
Jesus, what bull-ass
could I?
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey, you're the 100th caller, my friend.
All right.
Yes, you are now. What's your name?
My name is Rob, and I'm from New York.
New York City?
Yep, New York City. You got it.
We no longer broadcast in New York City, Rob.
You're not anymore? Oh, man.
Rob, I'm sorry, but... You and your entire market are dead to us.
Oh, God, I love you guys, man.
But don't worry, I'm sure you'll enjoy the sports junkies.
Have fun.
Or whatever show they throw on to fill the 4 hours.
Very good.
Whatever suckers decide to take that job next. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, how's
yes,
it going?
Going great, thanks. Who's this?
This is Daryl.
Daryl, where are you from?
Sacramento, listening on KHTK.
Beautiful. Daryl, you've won the Verizon T-shirt. Wow, we need better prizes. Even though Bell Atlantic has changed its name to Verizon, nothing changes.
Nothing changes, Don.
Enjoy your free shirt. Are you ready to go for the money?
Absolutely.
Here you go. Here's the reason you called. Secret song number 3 will play you a clip from the song. Now, it has been digitally altered.
Very much so.
It was a top 10 song. Good luck. Give us artist and title. You win $500. Please don't answer till Mike sings like.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
And there it is. Incidentally, John O'Hurley's favorite song of all time.
Ah, very good.
I don't want to give you a clue, but you know, the guy who was just here from Seinfeld, he loves the song.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, yes!
Right. What's the song?
Well, I think it's Fame by David Bowie.
That is an excellent guess.
Oh, very good guess.
We're sorry.
An excellent guess. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
For you. You know, that was a really, Robbie, that was a good guess, huh?
Nice guess. Very nice.
Very nice guess.
Nobody's going to get this one.
No, they're not.
You just made it go too fast.
No, they're not.
Just a bunch of audio mush.
We didn't make it go too fast.
Whatever you did.
We did not.
It's unrecognized.
We did not. Mike, listen. Enough with all that. That's right, you ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Crying all the time.
Crying all the time.
You're nothing but a hound dog.
It's Elvis's birthday.
All right.
Nobody loves Elvis from Memphis like we do. Elvis! Now, here's the story. I want to give you a little hype on this guy before we bring him in.
Okay.
Local man, Stephen St. James, was six when he saw Elvis Presley perform on TV. That's when he became a fan. He was 10 when his grandma made him his first ever Elvis suit. At the age of 10, that's when he became an Elvis tribute artist.
That's what they call themselves, is an Elvis tribute artist.
Stephen St. James of Fred Neck, Maryland, doesn't like to refer to himself as an impersonator.
Very good.
That's a negative, he says. Instead, he's memorializing Elvis.
Way to go.
He'll be on stage January 12th and 13th at the annual Elvis Presley competition and winter jam in Springfield, Illinois. He will be competing for $3,000. He's been Elvis for 16 years.
Wow.
And today, we're going to find out just how seriously he takes it. Because he's going to come in and perform for us.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
And then we're going to read him some of our favorite Elvis stories.
Okay. Wonderful.
And see how he reacts to that. And as we get into this, as we finally start to celebrate Elvis's birthday, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest Elvis tape ever made.
Very good.
Here's Elvis in Vegas.
Oh, hi, Marcy. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to meet one of the fellows who promoted me, the 8th degree black. His name is Ed Parker.
This is the long version, Rob?
18 temple schools around the country.
You're getting the whole thing now.
On stage. Maybe the Hilton, right?
Yeah.
There's another fellow in the audience. It's Ed Book.
This is Book.
He's a friend of mine. His name is John Brady. He's written a book. He was head of the narco squad in Los Angeles.
When?
For 26 years.
He's great.
And on the 166th page, he's got about three pages about me and my ex-wife, or so, and about our friendship, and about that maternity suit.
Maternity suit.
Turned into a complete conspiracy and a hoax, man. And I just, no way.
It's so great. So effed up. So paranoid.
I had a picture made with that chick, and that's all. I mean, she got pregnant with a camera, a Polaroid or something. Anyway, it's all in this book. It's one. I've been watching Polaroid cameras, boy. But you know what she did?
But just listen to this. Listen to how out of breath he is, mm-hmm. How impossible that it is to understand what he's trying to say.
Yeah, and he's defending himself. This whole spiel that he's doing during his concert at the Las Vegas Hilton is really kind of a paranoid ramble.
And the greatest thing is the audience laughing and applauding, like trying to support him. And the band
trying to be appropriate.
Also, the band also trying to be appropriate later on. Everyone's trying to help him out, but he's just off on his own limb.
That's why it's the greatest Elvis tape ever.
And when she goofed up, she named the night. The night she named
See, he came on to talk about a book that he likes reading. And somehow he's gotten onto a paternity suit. He called it a maternity suit.
Right. Yeah, paternity suit, and with the camera, and he's just rambling.
And nobody in the crowd now knows what he's talking about. Right. He's saying, but you know what? She named the knife.
Aha!
Right.
Goofed up. She named the knight. And the knight she named, my wife was in... No, my wife was with me in the audience. And that's the night she said, ain't no way they're going to fool around with her out there. You kidding me? So anyway, let me tell you something. If you like things like the French Connection, the Chinese Connection, the British Connection... The knee connection to the jump bone, neck to. If you like that type of stuff, buy this book. It's called O'Grady. It'll be in print when, John?
Listen to him.
September 27th. It will fascinate you. It's about 26 years of a hardline policeman working in the narco squad out of Hollywood. So you can imagine what it's like. Buy this book. It's called O'Grady. Okay.
And the morons in the audience all applauding it.
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
Oh, God.
In recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement, this award of special honors bestowed upon the Elvis Presley.
Doesn't it sound like you should have those little half glasses down on the end of his nose? The way when somebody's reading something too fast, it's just a country narco squad.
He's so effed up. Yeah. And he's talking about getting an award
from a narcotics organization.
Same.
Right. Well, lifetime member. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
Oh, my God. All right, now we go to part two.
So, I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk. And,
this is the best Elvis tape ever.
I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So, if they don't know anything... They make it up, you know. So, in my case, they make it up. But I hear rumors flying around. I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out.
Strung out.
Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Yeah, Elvis. Yeah,
good boy.
When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sicker than one. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard.
Strung out.
I was strung out on heroin.
I
swear to God, hotel employees, Jack, bellboys, freaks that carry your luggage up to the room, people working around, you know, talking, maids. And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, I had a doctor, had the flu, and I'd get over one day. But all across this town, strung out. Well, I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
In the audience. Hey, Elvis. Oh, I love it. But he's not done. The best is yet to come.
Dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father.
To my doctor.
To my friends, my doctor.
My doctor.
To everybody in my relationship with you. My relationship with him on the stage, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roof. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. There it is. That is the greatest Elvis tape ever.
Fantastic.
That's the one we love more than any.
That's where he's up there, and it's just filled with those wonderful contradictions.
That's our Elvis.
Well, listen.
We're going to talk to this guy, Stephen St. James, next.
Yes, an Elvis, not impersonator.
He is an Elvis tribute artist.
An Elvis tribute artist.
He'll be coming in and putting on a show, and we'll ask him all of our Elvis questions, like the colon.
Oh, good.
And we'll ask him his opinion of the tape that we just played. That's coming right up. We're finally going to get to Elvis's birthday. That is that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bye.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis retreated behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help him.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar to make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those worked perfect, you know. Well, to take a bath, he could take two of those, you know, and sponge off real quick.
Daddy boy.
Proudly, down to only two herpes pills a day.
We are.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, well, the studio is in full concert mode right now, ladies and gentlemen. As we bring you an Elvis birthday tribute like we've never done before.
This is a very exciting moment as we prepare for our Elvis tribute artist.
Let's bring in Stephen St. James.
Stephen St. James!
And he's... Oh,
here he comes.
Wants his music playing? Gotcha, okay.
Hi, Stephen.
Here he is.
Let's give him a round of applause.
There he is.
Hey, Steve.
He's got the oven. How you doing, Stephen?
Welcome.
Very nice to meet you.
Hi, Stephen.
How are you?
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
There he is.
Grab a microphone. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Wow. Now, are you one of these? Look at you with the Elvis suit.
You got the jumpsuit.
I was going to wear street clothes, okay?
No, this is
but
good.
I would have been.
If you didn't come in dressed like that, I would have been horribly disappointed.
Would
absolutely.
Yeah, the opposite way out? Like
no, this is great. This is fantastic.
You know what I love? Look at you're fat like we are. And look at the suit. The suit.
Hey, I'm not that fat.
The suit fits him the way the suit fit Elvis.
Okay. Now, did you purposefully get a little tighter suit? You know, that.
I'm working on losing some weight here, guys.
Like, so is Elvis.
Well, listen, don't be offended by that.
We know the battle of weight. Trust us.
Now, you've been an Elvis impersonator since you were, an Elvis tribute artist since you were...
6 years old.
Six. Wow.
Well, I mean, what happened is when I was 6 years old, my grandmother actually had me watch the Aloha from Hawaii concert live.
Right.
Six. When I was 10, I got involved with it a little bit, and there was a lot of guys out there that were just really, really bad.
And you're good.
Well, I brought my CD. You can tell me. How's that sound?
All right. Now,
when you're talking about that, you know, one of the things that I know that some Elvis impersonators will come in and they will be talking like Elvis right away. Now, do you just do the singing tribute to Elvis where you sing like Elvis, or can you, be like some of the other ones where,
I can talk like him if I really needed to, but, I just do it on stage, and pretty much when I'm off stage, I'm myself.
All right. Okay. Now, hold on. Let's listen to a little bit of his CD. You do these shows, you dress up in the suit, and you dance like Elvis?
We're working on doing a nationwide tour right now, as a matter of fact. I got a major booking agent in Las Vegas who's interested in doing something. And there's a lot of guys out there, like I said, it's a parody. I mean, I don't do it that way. I'm a professional entertainer. I knew J.D. Sumner, which knew Elvis really well, for about 7 years. I was good friends with, I don't know if you're familiar with any of the guys he hung around with, but I was good friends with Mike McGregor.
Sorry, don't know.
I got real close to the guys that knew him really well, so I could find out what he was all about.
You know Marty, what is it, Marty Lacker?
Marty Lacker. Yeah, I've talked to Marty a few times, but right. J.D. was the real deep, low voice you hear in the background. That's J.D. Sumner.
Right.
And then I knew him, and I also knew, I've also, Butch Polston, the guy who made this suit.
Yeah.
This is actually an original, almost an exact duplicate of what Elvis wore on stage.
What is your reaction, for instance, to the Elvis tape that we played before you came in?
Well, I mean, I try to keep opinions to myself, but since you asked me, it's interesting. I mean, I knew, that's what I wanted to find out a lot of. That's why I tried to get close to some of the guys that knew him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're doing 300 tours a year, you're traveling all over the country and you're doing 20, 25 concerts in a different city every single day, it takes a toll on anybody. So, I mean, he got to the point where he had to take pills to go to sleep and pills to get up, and it just got nasty. And it just got to a point where he couldn't control it anymore. And
so your reaction to that, when you hear that tape,
yeah,
can you hear the humor in it that we hear, that here's a guy who's obviously effed up out of his mind?
Of course. I mean, when you're in that type of state, you can't control how you are anyway. But, I mean, it's just that, I don't know, Elvis had a lot of bad problems because when he was getting older and stuff like that, and Priscilla left him especially, he was all by himself. The only time he ever felt comfortable anymore was on stage. And that's pretty lonely life. You got all that money and all that power, and you can't do anything.
But you're okay with our search for the comedy of Elvis.
Of
which,
course.
You know, Elvis, and it's not just the drug thing and getting bloated and all that, but when Elvis makes us really laugh, and when we read the story...
Even before he got effed up,
it's about what he used to do with his crew when he was running around with the Memphis Mafia, and the
monkey,
way that he lived his life, it was hysterically
funny. His monkeys scattered the monkey.
Right. And, you know, when we do that, I mean, seriously, some of the stuff he did is stuff that I think any guy would love to have a gang of guys and behave like that sometime. And it's funny because Elvis had all this money, all this power among this group of friends in Memphis, and he just, the sky was the limit the way he did it. When you're taking BB guns and shooting flashbulbs in your pool and doing stuff and getting a monkey that freezes to a tree, I mean, this is great stuff.
But on the other hand, he's also the guy who drank codeine cough syrup out of champagne glasses with 15-year-old girls.
You have to understand, he came from poverty. I mean, he had nothing, and then all of a sudden he gets all this power and fame, and he doesn't know how to handle it.
And he didn't have anybody around him to help him out either, obviously.
You know, it's interesting, because in order to do, you know, I heard you guys when I was coming in here and stuff like that, and you were saying, you know, the guy thinks a lot of himself. The funny thing is, yeah, I'm conceited a little bit. Now, I'll be honest with you, the reason I am, and it's not that I don't think I'm Elvis Presley in any shape, form, or the way, okay?
Okay.
But when I'm off stage, I'm myself. But when you're on stage playing that part and trying to live up to that kind of persona, and I mean, Elvis even said, how easy is it to live up to an image? It's impossible. You know, it's a great thing when you've got four and five guys around you as an entourage, like
funny.
I do, and I got a limo and everything else.
He's so into it.
He's funny with the suit. Yeah.
Will you put on a show for us?
What do you want me to do?
We've got some Elvis karaoke. I mean, if you just keep the headphones on, you can do
really?
A little show for us. Yes.
Or you can do your own thing, and you can take the headphones off and give us some a cappella, Elvis.
Here's what I got for you, karaoke. I've got Hound Dog.
I could really bust your chops. I know you guys always do that thing about, you know, that song you always do. Elvis song you always
welcome
do.
To my world.
Do that. Or give us a little welcome to our world on the microphone.
Oh, no, I don't have the music for that, though.
Can you do that a cappella, Elvis?
Elvis on there?
No, this is just karaoke.
No, I'm saying the Elvis track that you usually play.
Oh, I've got it? Yeah, okay.
Bring it down a little bit, I'll sing with it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Very good. You're
going
to sing seated? Elvis never sang.
Stephen St. James.
All right.
As a matter of fact, try the microphone back there.
We got you a microphone, too. You know, a special microphone just for you.
I just feel so honored, guys.
All right, there you go.
Are you ready?
All right, here.
We'll start with Welcome to My World.
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then.
He's singing in an Elvis suit right here in the studio.
Step into my heart. Leave your cares behind.
No heart attacks, okay?
Welcome to my world.
Filled with you in mind.
Filled with you in mind.
Elvis point. Gave you the Elvis point.
All right, now.
Yeah.
I'll give you a karaoke.
Okay, what do you got?
How about Suspicious Minds?
Okay.
Okay.
That's another slow one, though. Can't we?
No. Suspicious Minds is not a slow one.
Okay.
It picks up. So we're caught in a trap.
It starts
turn the music
slow.
Up a little bit so I
all right.
can hear it.
That's you got it. Here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen St. James.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Can't you see what you're doing to me?
Now, can we have some of the dancing?
When you don't believe a word I say.
Pretty hard headphones.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds. Suspicious mind. So if an old friend I know got by to say hello, what I just see
person, tribute artist in here.
We never have.
Here we go again. Ask me where I have been. You can't see the tears are real that I'm crying. We can't go on together.
Oh, my.
With suspicious minds. Oh, suspicious mind. All that I love survived. Oh, no. I'll grab the tears from your eyes.
This is outrageous. If you believe.
Don't let a good thing die. Oh, no. Because, honey, no, I've never lied to you.
There you go. Thank you for the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there
caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
I've never felt more ridiculous in my life.
Come on.
You know what I got into this business? Doing to me.
Tell me to fade it out, Mike.
Yes. Yes.
Because I love you too.
Stephen St. James, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is.
Stephen St. James.
Okay, beautiful.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Come on, does it really sound that bad?
No, you sound fine.
You're a little off-key.
Well, it's kind of hard with the mic and stuff. I'm used to using a live band and everything else.
Okay.
You got the sideburns, you got the suit, you know, you know the lyrics.
How much does that suit set you back?
$1,500.
Wow. Really?
There's a guy that makes a living do this all over the world.
Turn around. Let me see what's on the back of it.
Yeah, turn around.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Jesus. Wow. Now, how often do you have to have that thing cleaned? That's a serious question.
Actually, the nice thing about the studded suits, when you get into the embroidery, you have to get dry cleaned, obviously. They're like $4,000.
Right.
Some of them. But
how many do you have? How many suits do you have?
Right now, I've got three.
Three suits?
Yes.
Is this your best one?
Right now, I've got a belt coming in overnighted for tomorrow for the show coming up in Illinois, but this is pretty much the first suit I have.
All right.
Now, have you
know what's funny?
The other one, this one, the new one I have right now is heavier.
It's bigger. So serious. It's just funny to talk to you because you're very, very serious. And it's just, you know, the suit, it's just, it's funny. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Oh, it's great. Believe me. And you know the funny thing about, you ever mentioned Anthony Robbins?
Yeah.
I could have got you free tickets.
That's a shocker.
It would have cost you. It would have saved you money that way.
No thanks. When you go to these conventions,
yeah.
At some point, do you have a room full of Elvises? I mean, do you guys all hang out together?
When we do the tribute thing, the only reason I'm doing it is because if I win this contest, then I go to Memphis, and if I win that, I'm considering the best in the world out of 33,000 guys.
Wow. Are there? So
there are 33,000 Elvis impersonators
in the world.
Now, are you all registered?
There's no registering needed.
No registry needed.
No.
Somebody's keeping track of them if they know there are 33,000.
But out of 400 guys in the country, I was picked as one of the top 20 in the country.
So you're really up there in the top percentage.
Yeah.
And out of the top 20, how would you rate yourself? If you're in the top 20, be objective.
Well, I guess I could hold my own with first place. I mean, if I really...
See, number one, that's the right attitude.
That's a winning attitude.
That is the right attitude. Hey,
you know, I worked on my voice for 14 years, 6 hours a day, when everybody else was out doing drugs and gangs and stuff like that. It was my way of getting out of trouble. That's how I actually got into this, and I just worked on it really hard. And it just, you know, it came together, and I never had a voice lesson. I worked on it for a long time.
You know, they did some mathematical figuring, and they took the amount of Elvis impersonators tribute artists in 1977 to the amount there are now, and if that rate continues by the year 2050, one in three people in the world will be an Elvis tribute artist.
No, he's not making that up.
He's true.
He told me that the other day.
One in three people in the world.
All right, we're headed down that road.
Wow. I've got a serious question for you guys.
Yes.
Nobody can see me because I'm on the radio, but I'm just curious about something.
Yes.
What do you think about the look, honestly?
About your look?
Yeah.
You look good. You look like Elvis right when Elvis started to lose it.
I mean, that's
a compliment.
You know, you got the jumpsuit Elvis is the Elvis you want to do.
That's right.
Yeah, but I try to do the look as far as natural as possible. The sunglasses are not my forte. You know, all the wig stuff and all that stuff is ridiculous.
The hair looks very good. You got the black hair.
Yeah,
are those real sideburns that you have on there? All right, the sideburns look good.
You're closer to Elvis in Hawaii.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe on the second. Right. Maybe on the second stop in Hawaii. I'm kidding.
That's no problem.
He's kidding you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen.
Must be Gemini, right?
What's that?
Gemini.
Cancer.
Me, Gemini, 20th.
Ah, very good. Okay. Yeah. What's your sign, man?
Here's a question.
Yeah.
When is this convention you're going to? Is it this weekend?
It's this weekend. As a matter of fact, I was told you're going to be one of the phone number to call this guy.
Yeah, we're going to call the organizer.
He's going to be there because he's waiting. So about an hour ago, so I didn't know if he's still there or not.
All right. Well, if we don't get him today, we'll get him tomorrow.
That's fine.
If we could get you, we'll have Charlie give you our hotline.
Uh-huh.
Call us a week from today.
Okay.
And let us know how you did in the contest.
Sure.
You will be competing against how many guys?
20.
20 guys?
Yes.
20 guys, all different ages.
My money's on you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who's the oldest Elvis impersonator you've ever met?
Johnny Hara, I've seen him.
Johnny Hara, wow. We need your bills.
We've had Johnny Hara on our show before.
And you know who else you've had on your show, which is actually a friend of mine?
Who?
Michael Hoover.
Oh, sure. Michael Hoover. He's in Ocean City all the time.
Michael's 52 years old now.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. How old are you?
33.
Well, see, you got it there. I mean, you look like Elvis did when he was 33, so being 33 then.
And there's also a lot of guys out there that are, they'll have the look, they sound halfway decent, but they're 5'6".
Right.
5'6". So, I mean, it also helps, too.
All right, we'll get out of here, please. And
thank you, Stephen St. James.
Call us, Steve. Let us know how you do in the competition.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Best of luck to you. Thank you, man.
Take care, man.
Thank you very much.
See you later, man. You take it easy, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Thanks, man. Stephen St. James. There he goes. That's the most ridiculous moment. Why was I so uncomfortable? I don't know. Be a man in a jumpsuit.
Because he was so cool.
God.
I mean, hold on. Give me this music background.
Yeah, the music.
Give me this music back.
Hey, I struck out on music.
It was slightly off-key, I thought.
Well, I think it's tough with the headphones and the karaoke.
And the rhythm.
And the rhythm was off.
That surprised me. It was a little off-beat.
And probably a little nervous.
Sure, I'm sure.
Being on the show and stuff like that. Hey, but he came in with the jumpsuit.
Mike.
Got to give him credit for that.
He thinks he's the best in the world.
He does indeed.
He sure does. Well, we wish him well.
He sure does, Don.
He sure does. Mr. Stephen St. James. He's been doing it since he was six.
Six years old, and he's going out there, and won't that be a fun hotel lobby to be in?
we wish him well. We will be. Jesus, that was awful.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
What's up, guys?
Tom Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something! Gavin, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to save.
John and Mike live in the Super Bowl 3 weeks from now. They will show you something.
Yep.
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, that Elvis guy sucks.
That seems to be the prevailing thought, and gosh, we may agree with you. However, keep in mind that, you know, we had the guy in the room with us.
Yes. We were being polite.
He was off key.
I know he was off key, but listen, think about it. Wasn't that better than if we had a real Elvis guy come in and really sounded just like Elvis and just sang a song?
It had to be a level of ridiculousness to have the Elvis guy in here. So it would have sucked if he was perfect.
We
wowed us.
And we had no idea that we were going to get a slightly less than perfect Elvis impersonator.
Who knew? The interview had a level of absurdity to start with, mm-hmm. and I thought that added to it, and so it worked that way.
Also very awkward the interview was.
Yes, awkward, because it was just, I could not take the man seriously as he was sitting in our studio with his jumpsuit. It was impossible for me to take the man seriously.
Don't forget, he thinks he's the best.
And his approach was the serious business of Elvis impersonating. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. If I was him, I'd perhaps I might have gone to the gangs and the drugs.
But you know something he was very cool about? I think he understood our comedy angle on Elvis. You
know?
Probably didn't like it, but understood it, and that's all we can really hope for with Elvis impersonators.
Yeah, and we'll, excuse me, my tribute artist. We will root for him, nonetheless, this weekend.
Of course. Love to see him win.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Bet you $1 million he doesn't.
I bet he goes in the top five.
Hello?
You want to make a serious bet?
Well, he's in the top 20. Who picked him for the top 20? You know what I mean? Somebody picked him for the top 20. That person's probably going to have something to do with who's going to pick the top five. Right? I mean, I think he's the top 20.
I would still take that bet.
That he finishes in the top five?
That he doesn't finish in the top.
Okay, I'll bet you he finishes in the top five, but I ain't putting anything on the line.
Okay.
It'll be a gentleman's bet. I'm not taking anybody to lunch.
Okay, you're on.
Okay.
That's right, Jesus.
Take him to lunch. Yeah, but whoever loses takes him to lunch.
Oh, no.
No.
No. Oh, no, I don't feel that strongly.
Very good.
Although I will be going to lunch with Dennis Murphy sometime this week.
Good.
At the Palm Restaurant, downtown D.C. Dennis and I will be sitting in the power table.
Cool.
Together with Washington's elite, where they meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
I will be cutting Dennis's meat, feeding him.
Buttering his bread.
And also feeding him bread.
You're going to feed him? You're going to butter and feed him his bread.
All of that because the Millionaire Show is still on the air.
Will Dennis be wearing a jumpsuit?
No, he'll be wearing his best Dockers.
That'd be nice.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Hi. Great.
Good. I'm an implant from Chicago. I just moved here in Maryland. I never heard you guys until now. And I think you guys are very funny.
Thank you very much.
You're right. And that Elvis person, was he for real?
Yes, he was. See, that's what makes it even funnier. The guy 100% is on the level.
Very serious.
He's really into it.
I think that if you were to dig Elvis up and prop him in a chair, he could have sounded better than that guy.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, that was harsh. Way harsh.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. See, that was a segment where I hope that our audience gets the show enough to know that we were laughing, but we couldn't laugh like we really would laugh, like if we were watching him from another room or if we were watching a videotape.
Right. Sure, he knew that, I think.
Because
I think
the guy was standing right
here.
He
knew where. He saw our faces.
I mean, I turned around at one point. Poor Rob, who loves Elvis more than anybody, had to leave the room.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Rob was laughing so much he was crying.
Yes, that's true.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, Kelly calling.
Yes, Kelly.
Hey, I was at that Tony Robbins thing, and you're right, there was 10,000 crazy people, but when Trump was talking about how his 13 great tips to give you, y'all missed the most important one.
What's that?
He said, number 13, make sure you get a great prenuptial agreement.
Yeah.
The entire place just went dead silent, except for my buddy and I were just cracking up. It was absolutely priceless.
All right. Thank you, my friend. It was in the article, and I chose not to read it.
It's classic.
You chose not to share that incredible rapier wit with our listening audience?
Well, listen, this guy loved it.
Yeah, he thought it was funny.
It was fall down funny. Slap nuts funny.
Yes, Donald Trump, he's a funny man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I got a couple insights into this Elvis thing. I'm a musician. I played with a bunch of Elvis impersonators up in Massachusetts. There's a kind of a weird cult of these guys that impersonate Elvis, and there's a lot of musicians who jump on that because these guys pay, you know, your average wedding band, you might make a couple hundred dollars a night. Some of these guys pay you $500 a night to come up and help them basically entertain their mothers. Wow.
So if you are a starving musician, you can make more with an Elvis guy than you can playing at a bar mitzvah or a wedding.
Well, yeah, I think so. Some of those guys are actually very good, and they even get...
Yeah, but don't you have to have sex with the guys afterwards?
No, just with the guy that hands out the hankies to the old ladies.
Okay,
thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Man,
hey,
here's the deal.
What's going on, Don and Mike?
Listen, I just want to tell you something, Jack. I pay you $500 to back me up on this stage, and then I'd like you to have sex with me.
All right, dude.
That'll be $500 cash. Here's the guitar, man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, not to put the show in reverse a little bit, but hey, Don, Mike, remember when that hellified trip to Disneyland?
Yeah.
That you had over the vacation?
Yeah.
Did you happen to run into Mark Voorhees down there?
Mark Voorhees?
Mike, isn't that the guy who calls... Mark Voorhees was a featured performer on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, but I was just wondering, you know, what about her, Stacey Dash? Or what about that girl, Valerie Ray Miller? Rob knows who she is.
It's the guy that knows the cast of Saved by the Bell?
The Bell,
right.
No, Valerie Ray Miller was a host of One Saturday Morning.
I actually saw Mark Voorhees floating in the water underneath the Epcot ball.
Hello, Don. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is EAP, TCB.
Hi, Elvis.
Mr. Jeremy. Jeremy Coleman is an asshole. A big, big asshole, baby. And I'm going to rip his tongue out by the roots. Because I'm TCB, EAP. Let me tell you something about Mr. Ken Stevens. That guy has got some skin tags. I was up in the hotel, saw his skin tags. We was having a champagne glass full of codeine and turned into a little weasel. People... Four eyes and dirty suits. Kevin Stevens, I wonder if he's lonesome tonight. He's an asshole. ZAPTCB, DNM, JFK.
Thank you. Now that, you know what, that is an excellent call.
That's terrific.
Jeremy Coleman, you're an asshole.
That's the part I love, the harmonica.
That is the best the harmonica is what makes it all.
Jeremy Coleman's an a-hole, that little harmonica riff right after that. Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, well, just first of all, I'm originally from Memphis, and that guy was awful. We had some pretty good ones come through there, and then I moved to Las Vegas, and you've never seen as many Elvis impersonators as you have out there.
Listen, you could be from Russia, and you'd know that guy was no good.
Oh, yeah, he was awful. Also, about the movie Castaway, I worked on that film on the special effects, and we I didn't do anything about the plane crash. We did the rain. We made it rain because that the house scene was all inside.
You did the whales, too?
No! I didn't do the whales. No, all we did is when he's pulling out in the truck and driving off, Hank. We had the truck wired for the rain and then all that, and we squeegee it all off. But yeah. Tom Hanks is a great guy, and he's a blast around the set. But Helen Hunt is a bitch.
Oh, thank you,
wow.
Mike. I've just been handed this note.
Yes,
which is why I'm laughing because he would like it read now.
Okay.
If you'd like to book Stephen St. James at an upcoming event, call 301-624-0096.
All right, get ready.
Or email him, ElvisLivesTCB at AOL.com.
I'm hungry. Start practicing.
Hello.
Well, it's fresh in your mind.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Gladys.
Oh.
Happy New Year.
Are you off your probationary period?
Rob?
Okay.
What, Robbie?
She was okay. She only had to wait till this year.
She only had to wait till the first of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Boy, you've disciplined yourself, Gladys.
Yes, I have. That's my new theme for 01, discipline.
Right, that's your resolution. What can we do for you, Gladys?
Just calling to say I'm so glad you're doing better, Don.
Oh, thank you, Gladys.
I was really concerned.
Thank you for your concern.
For you, and then the new baby, Julia.
Thank you, Gladys.
That's exciting.
Okay, Gladys.
But I just want to say, my new resolution for this year is to lose weight. So every month I'm going to call you and tell you how much weight I lost.
Beautiful.
Well, we'll live for it.
Good luck.
Then I'll send a nice picture.
Beautiful.
That's right. Make it a nude picture, Gladys.
Oh, you don't want to see that.
You lose some weight, you get yourself a nice new broom to fly around on.
Hey, make it a nude picture where you're taking tongue to nipple.
No, I don't think so. But.
While you're diddling yourself.
In the tub.
In the tub.
Filled with chocolate milk.
Okay.
I'd also like
during Valentine's Day.
I'd also like a German Shepherd involved somehow.
Absolutely.
I'd like to you having sex with a German Shepherd.
And a butt plug.
I think in your dreams.
And a red ball in your mouth.
And a leather hood.
You guys are crazy.
We are.
Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
bye
you.
Bye.
How about just a picture of you having sex with your husband?
Oh, that's kind of scary.
February 9th, Gladys.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See?
We know how to get her off.
Found the way to get rid of Gladys the gonad gobbler.
Right.
Gladys Potter the gonad gobbler.
There she goes.
That's how you do. You just start talking about raunchy sex.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a few words a second. That fellow couldn't sing worth a crap. He was
We can go on together.
Oh, my God.
Suspicious minds. Priscilla, I want a donut, and I want it now.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, can I have a couple of fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches?
Goodbye.
You know, you get the impression like we're going to walk out tonight, there'll be a lobby full of them. Hey, man, give me a shot.
Hey, man. I'm better than that guy was.
Hey.
I'm better than Stephen St. James.
Hey.
Elvis Lives TCB at AOL.com. It's time for news and comments with Buzz
yes.
now.
Yes, it is.
In a world where booming a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz,
yes.
The lead story tonight has to be the fact that we, in fact, did walk off WNEW today.
That should be. That's the big story in New York, anyway.
Okay, what's your big national story?
Tonight, will Bush pardon Clinton?
Bush.
Hey, whoops.
Bruce Bush. There it is. That's what I was looking for.
That monstrous fag.
Okay, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, man.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word? We're playing crackback. What's the word?
Jizzy. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, Mike. Always a silver lining.
Yes.
Oh, first I got to read this card.
Okay.
Thursday, we're giving away a vacation for two to New Orleans.
Wow. All right. I love that city.
To go to the WWF Royal Rumble.
Oh, man. Now, that is a great wrestling destination.
Everybody loves the wrestling. WWF Royal Rumble in demand. Call Comcast or Cox Cable. To order WWF Royal Rumble, Sunday, January 21, pay-per-view.
Wonderful.
We're giving away the trip on Thursday.
Great trip.
Well, I don't know what happened to the guy. The silver lining is, as you know, if you listen to the whole show today, that we finally just blew up the WNEW experiment.
Yep. Decided enough was enough. We weren't getting our respect up there, and we said time to take a powder.
We canceled the show up there. They're not running it anymore. And I just found out that today we were cleared in Fargo, North Dakota.
So yeah. We lose New York, and we get Fargo, North Dakota. Yeah, hey there.
That's a brand new affiliate for the show.
All for success.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Hey, Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, when are we going to do the Las Vegas-style show up there?
Here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A big-name Republican is urging George W. Bush to pardon President Clinton.
Nice, Bush.
For lying about Monica Lewinsky.
I beg your pardon.
Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah says Bush should pardon Clinton, whether he was indicted or not, just to end the whole thing. Seems likely Mr. Clinton will be indicted for fibbing under oath. The new independent prosecutor seems to be working in that direction. Hatch says Clinton would be allowed to, and I quote, fade into whatever he's going to fade into.
Actually, I heard Pat Summerall would be begging his pardon.
Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon. I know what he'll fade into. I know what he'll get into. Hatch says he doesn't think there's a jury in the country who would convict Bill Clinton.
Richard Hatch?
Big Ditch Hatch? No, Orrin Hatch.
Oh, Orrin Hatch.
Of Utah. Richard Hatch comes up later in the newscast.
Hey, have you seen all the promos? Did you see him yesterday during football? I am Dirk. I am a physical trainer. Mm-hmm. I am Belinda. I am a bartender.
And the talk now that the Survivor, crew much better looking than the previous one. I didn't see it. No.
I mean, the bartender looked hot.
They're two hotties.
Female bartender looked kind of hot.
Right.
But beyond that,
the one guy was gorgeous. I don't know. President-elect George W. Bush says President Clinton should enjoy life, but there will be
John O'Hurley.
There will be no pardon.
Oh, and my favorite part of the Survivor commercial yesterday during football, where the guy says, "I am Stephen St. James. I am an Elvis impersonator.
I am number one.
Tribute artist.
I am number one.
Tribute artist.
That's right. Democrats and Republicans are fighting over George W.'s choice for labor secretary. Democrats say Linda Chavez housed and paid an illegal alien from Guatemala.
Hi.
10 years ago.
How you doing?
Republicans
say... That's not real good for a labor secretary to be doing.
Republicans say Chavez is to be admired for her compassion by helping a woman who was down on her luck.
Hello, I am down on my luck, Ms. Chavez.
Well, you do all the chores for me.
They say the woman did help with chores and was given spending money, but they deny that she was an employee.
Clean my toilets. Out of charity.
Jesse Jackson says the woman was an indentured servant for Chavez. Ted Kennedy calls the story very troubling.
I have vomited on the floor. Clean it with a tissue. Out of charity.
Gladly.
My dogs have urinated all over this sofa.
Suck out the poison.
Gladly.
Out of charity.
Gladly.
Other Democrats.
Ms. Chavez.
Union leaders are weighing in as well. Possible crimes here include sheltering an illegal and failure to pay Social Security taxes, but Republicans say those charges don't apply in this case. Ms. Chavez says she didn't know until after the woman left her home that she was an illegal alien, but a friend of Ms. Chavez is now disputing
you
that story.
You cannot use that word charity when the person comes into your house and does jobs
work for you.
Buzz?
Yes.
Hold on, excuse me. We have a newsmaker on the hotline.
Oh, really?
He would like to, and it says here on the card, redeem himself, newsmaker Stephen St. James. Uh-huh. Here he is.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Stephen.
What's up?
Hey.
I know I've been getting my chops busted, and acapella really wasn't fair, so if you would do me a small favor to at least try to redeem myself a little bit. I want to play one track, not the whole thing, just the beginning of it. And if you still think it sucks, which I wouldn't blame you to say it, afterwards I'll take that, because I just gave my phone number out on the air. Is that fair enough?
Hunt, you mean this card? I read that to you as a favor, as a commercial.
I understand that, but everybody else busted my chops about I suck. I really, just do me one favor, let me play like the first thing of this on the air, and I'll be happy.
What do you want us to do, Steven?
All right, are we on the air?
Yeah, we're live on the air.
Okay. I want you to hear something real quick, if you don't mind. I'll do the first verse, and after that, I'll leave it with you. Then you guys can tell me what you really think.
All right, go ahead. Steven?
Here it comes.
All right.
Okay.
He was obviously upset.
Guy driving down the road.
All right, Steven.
Steve.
Steven.
Steve.
Hey, how can we even hear?
He wants to hang up.
He wants to play the whole track, he said.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Hearing that, it was much better.
It was great.
Yeah, that was much better.
It was good.
Absolutely.
It was great.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, I thought we had some instant feedback for him there. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, I'm calling from New York.
Yes, hi.
Do you guys know that O&A say they're going to be on from 7 to 11 tonight?
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why that happened.
Do you guys really quit?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for some good radio, guys.
Hey, thank you very much.
We do appreciate it.
Hey, am I 100 caller? Or I am 100 caller?
No. <Yeah. laughs> We thought you were calling about our Elvis impersonator. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, good move, N.E.W. Just do 8 hours of Opie and Anthony a day.
Nine.
That's a smart move. Yeah, nine.
Is that what they're doing? Is that what they decided to do?
Well, that's what the guy on the phone just said.
Right. They didn't put tape on?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll run a best of Opie and Anthony show.
Make them stay
to 11.
Make them stay there to 11.
Wow.
Jesus.
Those guys are lazier than we are.
No way.
Well, serves them right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you're off the air there in Green Bay now. They're playing some basketball game or something.
Well, why are they doing that?
I don't know. It's like Seton Hall and Notre Dame or something, but I don't know what it's got to do with Green Bay, but now we're not getting the end of the show now.
Is this the real guy from Green Bay?
This is Swerve up in Green Bay. How you doing there, Don?
This is the guy.
Okay. Yeah, nobody can fake this guy.
No, there's a guy who fakes being this guy.
I heard that guy the other day. That guy wasn't me.
This guy's the real deal. 100% easy to spot.
He doesn't have the Packers Smokey Joe, I'm willing to bet.
Listen, what ridiculous game are they running on our station in Green Bay?
Well, it's like Westwood One Radio's got a college basketball game on. Seton Hall in Notre Dame. It's not a local game or nothing.
What are they doing that for now?
Yeah, I don't know. I called you to find out.
All right, we'll look into it, Norm.
Yeah, well, let's get back on the air now.
All right, dear. All right, dear. Thank you, Norm.
Yeah, okay. Hey, go Packers next year, huh, Don?
Yeah. Oh, you know, that reminds me. Hope they win next year now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, you've got to remind me to tell you about this gift. Bless his heart that my brother sent me.
Ah, really? Your Christmas gift?
My Christmas gift from my brother.
Late arrival?
Yeah, like what was it? Some venison jerky or something?
No. What it was maybe I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Okay.
You should.
It is the gaudiest windsock. It's a thing that you hang like from your deck, except it's not a windsock because it doesn't go out like the kind of the airport.
Yeah. It's like a little decorative.
It's
mobile.
Up and down.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Streamers.
It's made out of nylon.
It's obviously something that was handmade.
Oh.
It was something that was not, like, purchased. It has no NFL logo on it.
Oh, but it is the Packer type thing?
It's the Packers thing. And
so it's a flag in a way, right?
Well, I got to bring it in tomorrow.
Kind of a flag windsock.
I got to bring it in because when we opened up the box, both Frida and I just looked at each other and went, oh, my God. And I said to her, you know what? I'll put it on the deck at the beach house.
Sure.
She said, no, you're not.
Oh,
she immediately put it down in the basement.
It is the thought that counts.
Yes. And you know, then he called.
And you had to say how much you loved it.
And I did. I said I loved it.
What you ought to do is put that jacket I gave you on and sit out on the deck underneath the windsock.
The jacket you gave me.
Your son gives you a hard time about it being a little gaudy.
The jacket looks like a tuxedo compared to this. Hey, thank you, Norm.
Yeah, well, you got one of those new leather Packer jackets then?
Yeah, that's what Mike got me for Christmas.
Yeah, those are pretty classy.
Yeah.
You never disappoint.
He is terrific. Let me call my cunny, honey, and see if she didn't throw that thing away. Because I want to bring it in tomorrow to show it to you.
I think I understand what you're talking about, the way you're describing it. It's kind of got a hole in the middle of it and little strands that hang down. Yeah,
but it is beyond gaudy.
It's supposed to go on like a metal pole or something like that.
Hey, honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
How would you describe that gift that Jimmy sent us?
Well, remember the owl with the clock in its stomach that he sent us one year, the ceramic?
Right.
Cool.
On that par.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah, it's in the basement.
Honey, would you find it, please, so I can bring it in tomorrow and show it to Mike?
Sure. No, but, you know, you make fun of it now, but it does kind of suit you. I mean, you do like the Green Bay stuff.
I mean, listen, I said to my wife, seriously.
Right.
I would put it on the deck at our beach house.
Mm-hmm. And if your wife wasn't there, would you put it on the deck at your house that you live in all the time?
I probably would.
Yes. Yes, I would.
What did I find just earlier in that day in the bar? I found all those little mini bottles, and what did you tell me you were saving those for?
Okay. Here's the deal. You know, like the little airline bottles?
Yeah, the bottles of booze?
Right. Well, for a while, before I escalated my drinking.
Yes.
I used to go to the liquor store and just buy these little, like, 8-packs of vodka. Mm-hmm. And I would have a drink. And then what I would do instead of throwing the bottles away was I thought it would be neat in our bar area to actually line them up and make like little pyramids with them. Mm-hmm. Where you would have four on the bottom row.
Right. You're killing me now.
Yeah, three on the middle row.
Two on the hanging right next to them.
A little macaroni glued to that.
Two on the second row and one on the. Because you know she came to me. She was cleaning up before the New Year's Eve party. And she said, why do you have these bottles stacked up in here? And I said, because it's, you know.
It's decorative.
Four on the bottom row. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's your artistic side. You're doing, you sneak off into your home and you're doing a little arts and crafts.
Right.
You missed your calling as a decorator, my boo-boo.
All right, sweetie, please find that thing tomorrow, okay?
All right. So and by the way, Barty says that he would like to have that thing, so don't lose it.
Oh, no, we're not losing it. Don't worry.
He's going to have quite the bachelor pad.
All right, love you.
Okay, I love you too. Bye, boo.
Bye-bye. That's great for a youngster's room.
I'll bring it in tomorrow and show it to you.
Hey, I have a question about stuff like that. Do you know when I was a little kid, I got posters of all the NFL teams when I was like 8 or 9 years old?
Yeah.
And I have all of them. They're all. Do you think those are valuable, the posters of all the NFL?
Why?
I have pictures of the black, the blue and white Los Angeles Rams.
Why don't you have your wife go on eBay and find out how valuable those are?
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly what I'll do. She can sell anything.
No, I know that
she can. She sells anything. It's amazing.
I know there's a market for those.
Really?
I know it.
Oh, I got to get them.
Take it from someone who at one point paid $100 for a Green Bay Packers pennant.
Oh, wow.
You know those felt pennants that you used to hang in your room when you were a kid?
Right.
I bought one from 1965. I paid $100 for it.
Yeah, we go down to the Super Bowl. You go to those memorabilia places.
Right. They sell that crap all the time.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very it makes good. Some money.
All right.
Hold on. BN wants to say something. BN.
Yo, what's up, Dynamite?
Hi, BN.
Hey, I think I just found somebody I hate just as much as 40.
Who's that?
Don't have that Elvis guy on there no more, man.
Well, then, I think your haters might be well placed there, B.
All right.
I just wanted to let you know that. And I know that as far as your show goes, 40 and never die, but I can guarantee he'll continue to smell that way.
Well, now, listen, hold on. I got something I want you to hear.
Listen to this beautiful promo, this Mr. 40 promo, this Show Me Something. Listen to this.
Mr. 40.com.
Lord, Mr. 40, you have shown me something.
They just out here selling it, everybody. We just selling, you know.
Good
man.
God, Mr. 40, it's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Right.
Don and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep.
There you go. There you go. It's Mr. 40, his very own Show Me Something promo.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll show him something, too. If he want to wrap his mouth around a 40 bottle, he can wrap it around my... Well, you know.
All right. Okay. Jesus. He's so bitter.
Yes, he is. Very much so.
BN. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm driving south here on 270 out of Frederick, and some guy in an Elvis suit just ran his little Mercedes-Benz sports car into a bridge abutment.
You know, we're getting some good callers today. We really are. That made me laugh also.
We are.
Seriously, about driving home one night, how easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in that abutment on the side.
Ryan, GIF, Elvis, Buzz, yes. Hold on. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret song, only on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy, is this great.
Well, maybe they're right. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, back to news and comments. Now, here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A woman in California is suing Burger King. She says one of their employees in Anaheim watched through a peephole as she and her 9-year-old daughter used the restroom. Unless there's a settlement, the trial is starting today. The woman says she tried reporting the incident to management and to the police, but
that's really special sauce.
No one ever investigated.
A buddy of mine was telling me that he was in a drive-thru window, and as the guy at McDonald's was coming over to the to bring in his food, he was eating his French fries. Ooh. Had like one almost like hanging out of his mouth as he was handing it to him.
Oh, my God, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you.
As for this story, Burger King denies it ever happened. The same judge who was accused of going easy on Daryl Strawberry is refusing to send another drug offender to prison. Judge Florence Foster of Tampa says this new defendant cannot go to prison because, and I quote, he's too thin and white. Quoting again, he would certainly become a sexual target in the Florida state prison system. She says that's cruel and unusual punishment in her book. The 41-year-old man had broken probation on a previous cocaine conviction. Prosecutors are not happy about the judge's decision, and a local law professor says she can understand that considering the racism in what the judge said, she can understand why the prosecutors are unhappy.
So the guy doesn't go to jail because he's dreamy?
Because he's thin and white, and she was pretty sure that he would be raped, and so she said, no, that would be cruel and unusual. So if the defendant had been black, would he or wouldn't he have gone to prison? We don't know.
So if she had said he's too thin and dreamy, that would have been okay.
She could have perhaps covered her bases better.
He's too thin and dreamy. He will be raped.
Take me off a piece of that.
Welcome to Oz.
Firestone and Ford. Oh, that's starting up soon. I can't wait. Firestone and Ford.
Was on last night.
Oh, damn, I missed it. I'll have to catch the rerun.
The new Oz last night.
Oh, the new one was on?
Yeah,
oh,
I forgot about it.
The parody on Mad TV they did?
No.
It was Cos.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the prison. The Cosby guy, bare-ass naked, walking. It's like blurred his butt, but him walking away, it was about the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Mad TV hits more often than it misses.
I don't want to have to see the sodomy in the packs of cigarettes.
That's a good show. By the big fat guy on that show really is truly one of the funny fat men. That's, and I hope they give him a movie. You know, they give everybody on Saturday Night Live a movie. I'd like to see that guy in a movie. Have you ever seen when that big fat guy?
I never watch Mad TV.
He does Kenny Rogers, the fat Kenny Rogers.
Never seen him. Jesus.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And they give him the whole, you know, all the white hair, and he's just totally obese.
Better than Saturday Night Live a lot of times.
It's much better than Saturday Night Live.
Firestone and Ford each paying millions of dollars and giving bedside apologies to a woman paralyzed in an exploding tire accident. That's the settlement announced outside a courtroom today in Corpus Christi, Texas. The paralyzed woman was the first to sue after the recall was announced. No word on how much money she's getting, but she was suing for $100 million.
My tire has exploded. Where's Jock Nasser? Hello, this is Jock Nasser. I've come to your bedside to apologize for these crappy tires. Later on, Coming to your bedside will be Masatoshi Ono.
Oh, I am so sorry you cannot walk anymore.
I am sorry you cannot walk anymore.
But here, please.
But here, please.
Enjoy some hot chicken wings.
Enjoy some hot chicken wings. From Japan.
I don't know.
A couple of school bus drivers in Albany, New York are in hot water for trying to cheat on a drug test. One of the drivers, one of the school bus drivers, says it's the lowest she's ever stooped. I mean, asking one of her kindergarten passengers to supply some drug-free urine.
Oh, God.
She says she was afraid she'd fail the test after using marijuana. Police say the two women paid this 5-year-old boy $5 to take a cup into a restroom, urinate in it, and bring it back to them.
Who there in hot water?
Warm water. The student told his parents. The parents told the principal. The women now face misdemeanor charges.
What you're listening to is Joe Artinger urine. That's Joe's bong. Joe could be one of those bus drivers.
Related.
Buzz, hold on, please.
All right.
Got to do this. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Homo Joe here.
Homosexual Joseph, you have shown me something.
HomoJoe.com.
Homo Joe, it's 2001. Time to show me more.
With the condom.
Don and Mike live at the Super Bowl. 3 weeks from now, they will show you something.
Yep.
Tastier than a bowl of scab. The Don and Mike Show.
Is that how you're doing? You know, we can listen to Annie W. on the satellite.
Right.
We're replaying Opie and Anthony, the afternoon show from Annie W. They're replaying their show from today.
Oh.
They're replaying the part from 3 o'clock. Our show should have been on right now on Annie W.
Mm-hmm.
Where those two dicks are saying that they heard our show on Friday, where we threatened to quit if we didn't get moved to a live spot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me recreate that moment for you.
Hey, Ant. I am so sick of these phony disc jockey stunts and these disc jockeys from out of town who think they're good enough to work in New York. I guarantee you Don and Mike will be on tonight at 7 o'clock. I guarantee you, Ant.
Please.
Yeah, now they're rebroadcasting their show to fill our time slot because we're off that loser station.
And I guarantee you this, Opie and Anthony, you will never be syndicated. Never. You want everything out on the table? Everything down on the table. And you know why you'll never be syndicated? Because the man who owns this company hates you. You're hanging on because right now you're the flavor of the month. Because right now you got a taste of what it's like to be in the top five.
Right.
You know, we're just sitting here listening to some of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see them come up here and do this over and over.
You know how many good books Opie and Anthony have had in New York City?
How many?
Two. Let's see you get to number one. And then if you can manage that, let's see you keep it.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a long, long time. Seen a lot of guys come, a lot of guys go.
You know what we're going to do? We're just going to wait for them to F up again. Because the guy who's pissed at them is the guy who signs the paychecks.
Sure.
And then we'll be glad to take your job when you finally get fired.
Yeah, we've kind of changed our attitude about that after what we heard. We didn't hear that initially.
Right. We were just listening to some on the satellite.
Yeah.
Heard on their big yaps about us in New York.
I hate fake disc jockey stunts, Ant. I guarantee Don and Michael be on tonight at 7. Just more people from out of New York City who think they can come into New York City. Please.
F that.
Please.
It's funny that they're doing that. Then all Jeremy has been able to pull together today is just to rebroadcast their show back to back. And so
what
we're hearing all of this at 7 o'clock
when our show has been on WNEW.
Exactly.
They're playing a tape of those two dopes cutting us an a-hole saying that we weren't serious. Hey, we were serious.
Absolutely. Who needs it?
And furthermore, if word of this ever gets back to New York, Opie and Anthony better pray to God that K-Rock never does anything. Pray to God that we never come up there.
Right.
But that's all right, because you guys will F up again and talk about something or somebody that you're not allowed to.
No, it happens.
And next time you'll get fired.
It happens when you have trouble coming up with good material every day. you end up effing up like that. And then you're fine. You're not just as good as your last book.
Exactly.
But there's a little more to it than that. But you know what? I really don't dislike those guys. They remind me of you and me like 15 years ago when we thought our ass didn't stink.
Yeah, they're competitive, just like we are.
Right. They just got to.
They're territorial. They're competitive.
They got to get their ass kicked a couple of times like we did.
They heard us making noise about wanting to do afternoons in there and moving them. And as soon as they heard that, they got very territorial.
Yeah.
Very understandable. But if they want to get on and start trashing us,
F them.
You know, F them. Really, that's just the way it works.
That's fine.
See you. I'm glad to be off that station. I really am. They can have it. They really can. Let's just let everything play out. It's time for us to take a break on that radio station.
Hey, it'll be an Anthony. Good luck with Ken Stevens.
Yeah.
He's the guy you can trust. There's the guy you want to have on your side.
Absolutely.
When times get bad. And Jeremy, thanks very much for your help in all of this.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thanks. Thanks for helping smooth things out at WNEW for the amount of time we worked there. Thanks.
Hey, we don't need it. We don't need it anymore.
You piece of garbage. Please. Go to hell.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don, Mike.
All right, here's something you don't want to see on an airplane ever. Last week on a Continental jet from Houston to Paris, the passengers watched as the crew carried out of the cockpit.
You know, just let me tell you this. Those two dicks, Opie and Anthony, mm-hmm. when I was listening to them on the replay, they found it impossible to believe that they were talking about what we said on Friday,
mm-hmm.
that we should either do afternoons mm-hmm. or do middays.
Right.
They found it impossible to believe. They were so threatened by us. They found it impossible to believe.
Impossible, right.
Impossible to believe that we had actually thrown the idea out to do midday.
Right.
We wouldn't have said that if we hadn't meant it.
Absolutely.
You know, it just shows how paranoid they were about us.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't paranoid about them. You know, they could have freaking afternoon drive. We'd still make 10 times more money than they do doing middays.
Mm-hmm. And it's really frustrating.
It wasn't about anything like that.
You know, they're out of the loop a little bit. That's so obvious to me by that discussion. And they certainly never knew us.
No.
And they never made an effort to know us.
And who made the effort?
We made the effort.
We made the effort.
And you know something? When they made that statement that we were full of crap about this and that this was a stunt, this wasn't a stunt. This was two guys that were promised something a year ago that got fed up and just realized that it was, you know, you and I both realized with this NEW situation that it was a go-nowhere situation. We would stay there with a guy like Jeremy Coleman at the helm, a do-nothing guy, a reactionary guy. We would stay there forever, and we would not be able to win on tape delay. That's why we decide pull the plug right now. You know, it was obvious to us they weren't going to make any kind of decision. And frankly, the best move would have been to put the better show in afternoon drive. That's just my opinion. That's
Amen.
Just my opinion. You put our show in afternoon drive, you move those guys, the flavor of the month, to middays, they do very well, that would have been fine. But we also would have done middays. We would have done anything. We wanted the show to be live up there. We had 3 time slots. Don mentioned it last week.
Mornings, ad days,
or afternoons.
Afternoons. We would have done any one of the three. And F Opie and Anthony and all the crap they're talking about, they don't know us. F them. See you guys. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, then they don't know us.
Keep getting beaten by the light FM station. They're kings of nothing. Kings of my dick. That's what they're kings of.
Yeah, we didn't need that. That was uncalled for. But you know something? That was under the surface.
Of course it was.
Since we came up.
Of course it was.
That's just the way it was.
They were threatened from day one. And good luck to whoever else gets that shift. And I'll tell you something else that Jeremy pissed me off with today. One of the messages going back and forth, because I wanted to speak to him,
right,
and he wouldn't take my call. He said to Charlie, yeah, Don and Mike won't be on WNEW. Don't worry about it. But I might put the Sports Junkies on.
Trying to, you know, now that he's up in New York,
like that's a threat?
He's trying to drive a wedge between us and the Sports Junkies.
Like that's a threat? Yeah. You know, I'd say to the Junkies, take it. Good luck. You'd be on the crappiest station in New York with no promotion
mm-hmm.
and no chance for advancement. Not to mention other disc jockeys who are so paranoid about out-of-town shows coming into their territory.
Exactly.
Good luck. But like Jeremy says that, like what, to flip us out? Like we'll go, oh, what, you're going to give the Sports Junkies the slot?
Hey, Jeremy's the enemy as far as I'm concerned.
You're going to give the Sports Junkies the slot that, gee, let me see, paid us absolutely nothing else, was just part of our regular Westwood One deal?
Yeah, who needs it? And giving us the opportunity not to win.
Yeah, go ahead.
We win live. That's the track record of this show. We win live. We don't win taped away.
What a vindictive little prick he is. But he could have made it so. He could have made it all so much easier.
No, but Jeremy is threatened by us.
like Opie and Anthony are threatened by us. That's the way that works. And then you have Ken, who's afraid of everything.
Yeah, right. Ken, who's afraid to react to anything. I'm sure Ken won't even find out about this for another 4 or 5 days.
So that's how Jeremy survives.
He just hides everything from Ken. Please. The whole thing.
All we did in that radio station, all we did for the better part of a year was play the game. Do what they wanted us to do. Go up there. Make the effort. And, you know, how do you get rewarded by this this group up there? And I'm not going to say this company. I'm going to say this program director.
The WNEW team.
You're crapped on.
Right. Because they flat out lied to us. They lied to us. A year ago they said, do this, get your foot in the door, you'll be online.
Jeremy didn't like working with us when he was here, and he didn't want to do it when he was up there.
But
that's the bottom line. So, Jeremy, you're the one that I look at as the guy that made this decision.
He's got his new flavor of the month now. Good. Enjoy the flavor of the month.
Have fun.
Let's see how long that flavor lasts.
Enjoy.
Enjoy that, because I'll tell you something, Jeremy, and I told him this today on the phone. The first person that's going to fall on the sword of WNEW is Jeremy Coleman.
Absolutely.
He's going to be the first to fall on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. F you.
Who needs him?
F you all. All you people at WNEW. Jesus. Kiss my ass. Seriously. We're happy here. Please.
We are happy here. That is the truth.
God damn.
And we will have another opportunity.
You know, it just pissed me off because we tried to be nice to Opie and Anthony. We really did.
You did.
We really did.
I'll tell you, absolutely, we did. We did it.
And we listened to this crap today where we are just getting our a-holes blown wide open from these two guys. Please. Go ahead. Take your 5-share. Think you're something. Please. Call me when you get a 10-share.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right. You've never gotten a 10-share. You're so hot, though. You're so hot, Opie and Anthony. Who will never be syndicated by this company. Because the guy who owns the company hates you.
Jesus Christ.
Always an adventure, isn't it? What a mess.
It is a mess.
You know, and again, I don't even fault Opie and Anthony.
No.
Really, because they're just speaking from their hearts. If there was a manager up there who had bothered to sit them down to say, listen, what Don and Mike said on the air is what they've said to me in private. Mornings, middays, afternoons, doesn't matter.
No, that would take communication. That would take somebody who really wants to let the people on the radio station know what's going on. Jeremy doesn't do that.
And furthermore, you love sitting on the dumb button, Jeremy. I just heard it on the replay. It was fine for them to cut us an a-hole for 30 minutes today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for helping us in that regard. Please. That's what started this whole thing today.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 o'clock when we heard that they were cutting us an a-hole.
And who needs it?
Who needs it?
We can't do it like that. We can't be on tape delay and have the guys that are in the afternoon, you know, targeting us every single day. And, you know, they targeted us based on not believing what we said, and I think we proved what we said.
Yeah, we always were
sincere about that.
Right.
I feel relieved.
Yeah, me too. Jesus Christ. What a mess this is. Buzz, thank you for the news.
You bet. You're welcome.
Thank you for the news. Good night, everyone. No, Mike, we got another break to go.
I know we do.
Phone number is 877-365-3636. God, they love stabbing in the back of this company.
They do indeed.
They really do. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller now to the show that 15 years ago was the flavor of the month.
Amen.
We're still standing.
Right.
Yeah. Call now. Good luck. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
They're off the hook. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We try. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Wade Phillips was fired today as coach of the Buffalo Bills for refusing to fire one of his assistant coaches. Phillips was under pressure to dump his special teams coach after a Redskins-like 8-8 season, but the Bills missed the playoffs this season for the first time in 3 years. The general manager of the Bills was fired just last month.
I wonder if Norv would go to Buffalo. Norv seems like a Buffalo-type guy.
He'd be a perfect Buffalo kind of guy.
Right?
Man, sure is cold. Sure is cold.
He doesn't have the personality that Marty has.
You are so gay for Marty Schottenheimer.
I am. I'm gay for Marty Schottenheimer.
You haven't spent a lot of time paying attention to Marty Schottenheimer, and now I like Marty Schottenheimer.
I really do. Yeah. I'll be eating my words if he craps out next year, but I like the Marty.
I like the Marty man.
The shot.
The shotter. The shot man.
The Martzer.
The man of shots, didn't he?
Washington Wizards guard Rod Strickland's been arrested again on drunken driving charges, as you have no doubt heard by now.
How many times is that for him now?
This is 3 in 2 years. A couple of years ago, he did a year's probation and 30 hours of community service after a DUI conviction. 3 weeks later, he was picked up again, but he was acquitted in that case.
Hey, MJ, good job reining that team in.
MJ says he met with Strickland this afternoon. He said they discussed the incident, but he would comment no further.
What did John O'Hurley think about that? Being as he's so tight with MJ.
I don't know. He just had some red wine. I can't do his voice. I don't know why I can't do his voice, but I can't do his voice.
Just remember Rod Strickland. No one likes a quitter.
Rod was arrested early Sunday morning after police say they saw him driving erratically near the CIA headquarters in McLean, Virginia. Rod will be in court again at the end of this month. He hasn't been on the court since December 27th because he's still recuperating from a torn shoulder muscle.
CIA.
Hey. Finally, here's an update on the woman who bit off a testicle from her best friend's husband.
No!
Alcohol was involved when the woman found it.
Really?
Yes, I know. Hard to believe.
Hey, when you don't have olives.
Oh, no.
Alcohol was involved when the woman found herself alone with her best friend's husband. She says she bit the testicle through his jeans because he wouldn't let her refuse his advances. In other words, she says she acted in self-defense.
Wait, she wouldn't let him refuse her. So
yeah, it's kind of a double negative.
She was coming on to him.
No, he was coming on to her. She tried to refuse his advances. He wouldn't hear of that.
So she bit his ball off through his jeans.
So she says she didn't know where she was biting, but that's where it ended up.
I think the best way to sentence that would be he ignored she...
Forget it. I don't care. It's not easy, is it?
No, it is easy.
No,
let's all figure it out. There's a way to say that. She bit through his jeans because he was ignoring her protests.
Okay. That's better.
It's fine with me.
Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah, it's fine.
Print it. The court was not unsympathetic to the woman's claims of self-defense, but today it ruled that the injury was so serious there would have to be a punishment. The woman
swallowing.
No, she's getting 6 months in prison.
Oh.
The man's punishment? Well, police found the testicle.
Oh, listen, he's got punishment enough. He just got his ball bitten off. Oh,
exactly. God. Police found the testicle under a picture frame on the floor of the living room.
Oh, God, that hurts.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God.
All right,
that's it. No, to the frame. We got to go.
Jesus.
Well, we would hire that woman and send her to New York to take care of Jeremy, but then
I just remembered Jeremy has no balls.
Ah, that's right, absolutely. Listen, thank you for your indulgence over this whole WNEW fiasco. We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you, John O'Hurley.
Yeah, very good.
And his show, To Tell the Truth, syndicated throughout America. And thank you also to Elvis Impersonator Stephen St. James. To book him, call 301-624-0096. Or email him at elvislivestcd@aol.com.
Very good. Be nice.
That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am the 100th caller?
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Matt.
Matt, where are you calling from?
Center of Virginia.
Matt, call 100. You've won the WWF Royal Rumble prize pack. WWF Royal Rumble.
All right.
In demand, Saturday, January 21st, 8 p.m., live from New Orleans in your home. Everybody else, please call Comcast or Cox Cable.
All right.
To order WWF Royal Rumble, Sunday, January 21st. Thank you.
Great.
Enjoy. See you tomorrow. We'll be back with the all-new episode then.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, that's right. We won't be sick tomorrow since our show's not on NEW now.
We'll have a great show tomorrow.
That's it. Got to go. See you then. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Hey.
Throw your beret in the air. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might
yeah, Robbie. Mike.
What are you doing over there?
I'm torn in his mouth.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye there, Donnie.
Bye-bye.
Turn it again. Sanity is here saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.